We have apology Honorable Masiko, who got admitted Sunday night and operated Sunday night. She became sick. You remember last week, Thursday, I said I asked her to go consult and get a second opinion. And then she went to consult and got a second opinion, and only to find that indeed she does have gallstones. And you know, after her operation, she sent to the, she sent me those gallstones. You know, I couldn't believe they are big. So when you eat food, you must chew food thoroughly. What are this thing here, Tuguti? You eat, and it has an impact, an effect in our bodies. So when we chew food, we must chew food until we make sure what the food is thoroughly chewed, you know. And don't eat and drink. Eat and drink after, because the more you eat and drink, it makes, you know, food, it makes smaller yana balls. And those smaller yana balls, they develop gallstones inside the bodies. And then they are very dangerous. Gallstones. When I was a student nurse, one friend of mine had gallstones, and she got admitted and operated. And after operation, that's why I was so scared that I didn't want her to go and do the operation, because my friend died after that operation. So even yesterday when she was talking to me, I was very scared. I started praying, because, you know, gallstones, they go and come back again. So it's not something that you can take it light. So, but the operation was successful yesterday, and I spoke to her. She's trying. I think, by God's grace, the operation was successful, and she's fine so far. She's doing well, but I'll talk to her afternoon, because she said to me she'll be discharged, I'm sure, today or tomorrow. But another member that is not well is Honorable Piri. She got admitted and operated, and she was discharged. But last week I was told again, she's sick. Over the weekend I couldn't get a chance to call her, but I'm sure if Bonelisa can call her, and Nati, we must call her and just check on her with how is she doing. Honorable Mpiti, he submitted the apology. He's saying he noticed the meeting, he got it late, but I'm not sure what the thing is, it true or what, because I got the message on Friday morning that the meeting is continuing. But anyway, our meetings are sitting every Tuesday. Honorable Sheriff, she's attending a SADC a workshop in Pretoria. They wanted two delegates. Initially, I deployed Umasiko, but unfortunately, there was another delegate. They deployed without talking to me. So I said no, but I do have young people in my committee. So when there are these workshops, Mina, I want my young people to go and attend. Nobody must go and attend these things when our young people in the committee are there, and they are very articulate. You understand. You do have capacity. You are educated. So there's no way that people will say there's no capacity. People can't go and attend. So, but somebody else is deployed. But that will be corrected. So we wish both honourable members a speedy recovery, and to trust that God will be with them. They will get healed because He's the most healer. He's the master of the universe. So by faith we trust that they are healed in Jesus' name. And so today we are going to deal, we're supposed to be adopting our BRRR report, but that have been cancelled. So today, Kashifa and Christelle and Tasneem and Nelisa will tell us what is it that we're going to do today. And then we'll deliberate on what they have drafted already and make our own inputs and amendments so that next week. And then next week we'll be adopting it, our report. So, Kwanja, what else? Okay, yeah. I'm sure now you can tell the 11th TV which Banayans are on. It's the right to say that meeting.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members. So today we have the draft budget review and recommendations report for this year. The intention is it gives us a little bit more time this week. So for today, I will go through the report with members. It's an opportunity for members to indicate what should be changed, added, amended. And if you would like any additional information, whether it's from the department, the AG, or the CGE, we still have this week for us to be able to do that. One, let members feel if you're fine with the report, provided that we're correct, we can actually then adopt the report today. So with Chairperson, I'll take Chairperson's cue. The report is quite long. Just to reiterate again, all of the information here is based on what the committee has covered already. So it involves the annual report for the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, as well as the CGE for 1890, the audit AG's report and the audit and this committee's report, and all the analysis that Crystal had covered with you for both the department and the CGE, and the input that I provided looking at some of the outstanding matters and reflecting on the work the committee has already done. The most important bits would be the observations and recommendations. So the first half of this report basically goes through what we had covered, and it's the latter part that's technically very important for members to look at and see what is it in terms of the observations based on your deliberations last week that you want included, sharpened, changed, and what are the recommendations you feel should be altered, moved, shifted, or changed. So with Chairperson, what I would suggest, and take my cue from Chair, I'll go through the first 40 pages that will take us up to the observations and recommendations. And I've noted that this is draft, so where there are language or spelling mistakes or mistakes with regards to missing information, we will note that and we'll include it. So, Chair, if it's fine with you, I will go through the first 40 pages, page by page, and then spend more time on the observations and recommendations.
Okay. You know, before you move on, last week, Friday, I received a letter regarding the NYDA from the Mr. Frolic. So I think they are saying we must start with the process of filling the vacancies of NYDA. So, but yourselves, Nelly's, and you must now work on it, ne? Because the administrative side, I don't know what is it that must happen, but you know better what is it that must happen. So this week, please work on it so that we know what is going to happen. But
thank you, Chair. We noted the letter from Mr. Frolic's office. But I think Nelisa has been in contact with Mr. Frolic's office to say, practically, in order for us to proceed, there has to be a referral in the ATC. The ATC must indicate that in terms of the appointments for the board for the NYDA, it's been referred to both the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee. And until that appears in the ATC, in terms of administration, we can informally communicate with our colleagues in the NCOP, but we actually do need that referral, because referral gives us the procedural recommendations to say, now you can start and look at how we will work with the Select Committee. So we're waiting for that ATC check. But the moment it comes, we will definitely look at how we can liaise with our counterpart in the Select Committee to set up a program and meeting. So starting on the first page, what I noted right from the start was the title, and that is to move from Portfolio Committee on Women to in the Presidency to Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. And I've put down dated the 15th of October. So if members don't want to adopt today, you want to adopt next week, the date will change. In terms of the introduction, so in the title of the page, Chairperson, right on the top, it says Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency. It's supposed to be Portfolio Committee on me, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. That's the first thing. In terms of introduction, again, it's just to indicate to members that this report is based on our review of the portfolio that the previous department had its budget vote and annual performance plan referred to the Portfolio Committee, and the previous Committee of Women deliberated with that in May 2018. The annual performance plan was revised in August 2018. But the department had indicated to us that there was no financial implications incurred, as there were only targets that were moved from Program 2 to Program 3. And as Chris Slade noted to members last week, those two targets referred to the DTI incentive schemes and gender-responsive budgeting. So it was only those two targets. So it still was in the department, but it just moved from Program 2 to 3. At the bottom of page one, just to pick up again, the purpose of the department is to lead, coordinate, and oversee the transformation agenda on women's socioeconomic empowerment, rights, and equality. We go through where the department gets its mandate from, and that's in the annual report, it's noted that the mandate is to deliver services directly. It's not to mandated to deliver services directly to the public, but works in partnership with other government departments, civil society, and the private sectors to promote the socioeconomic empowerment of women. Why I put that there is just to highlight to members from the beginning the importance of understanding the mandate of this department. Because when we look at all the targets and whether they've met them or not, is to think back to their mandate. If you achieved your target, which they reported on. How does it take them further to giving effect to the mandate of the department? Moving over to page 2, 2.2 just covers the Commission for Gender Equality and what the mandate of that is. Just to highlight again here, the mandate of the Commission for Gender Equality as a Chapter 9 institution is around monitoring, to lobby, educate citizens and encourage the equitable development of women and men. And we highlight what the particular objectives are on page 2 for the CGE. In terms of page 3, 2.3, the strategic focus for 2018-19. So in the department's 2018-19 annual performance plan, it indicates that the overarching outcome that it aims to attain is the achievement of an informed society that upholds non-sexism, fights patriarchal practices, and understands gender equality and implements gender-sensitive policies. Out of its 2015-20 strategic plan, it highlighted some of the key strategic priorities that it was going to prioritize, which was around the promotion of strategic leadership and governance, promotion of gender mainstreaming, promotion of gender knowledge and analysis of policy, as well as monitoring and evaluation and public participation. So what members see in terms of the prioritizing for 18-19, the focus seems to be much more around the promotion of these key issues. In terms of support of these strategic objectives, at the end of page 3, the department indicates in the 2018 estimates of national expenditure that its focus over the medium term will be directed at three core areas, which is analyzing, evaluating, and monitoring policy and program implementation and building stakeholder relations, mainstreaming socioeconomic empowerment of women, and raising awareness and conducting outreach programs to further gender equality and women's rights. So given that these are the key strategic objectives, we also need to be able to hold this. So when we look at our observations and recommendations, we need to think back and say, well, did we actually achieve those objectives in terms of what they had done at the end of 1819? As we move over to page 4, the department goes on to state that it measures to facilitate what we had just noted before around the public participation, monitoring and evaluation, and analysis of policy, that they will facilitate this using measures to include intensifying campaigns for gender equality and against gender violence, removing educational barriers for women to enter job markets, and encouraging the participation of women in developmental planning. The department's policy priorities for 18-19 highlighted the re-emergence of matters related to gender-based violence, with the establishment of an all-inclusive high-level committee on gender-based violence. To this end, the department intended through this committee and engagements with relevant stakeholders to address the root causes of violence which inhibits the advancement, empowerment and equality of women and girls. This is a significant change from the department's inception in 2014, when issues related to gender-based violence were seemingly transferred to the Department of Social Development. The department also indicated that it planned to work towards the revival of the national gender machinery, recognizing it as a mechanism to advance and promote women's protection and empowerment. So here again, Crystal had gone through with members and not only looked at what the priorities were for 18-19, but looked at overall, since the inception of the department, how did these priorities fit in? And what she had, Crystal had highlighted to members is that in the latter part of the 5 years, suddenly, at the start of 2014, the minister then was saying, GBV, we acknowledge that it's important, but social development will take the lead. But suddenly, towards the latter end of the 5 years, gender-based violence came back onto the agenda of the department in terms of its work targets and efforts. Still on page 4, just to cover some of the issues that the CGE had prioritized for the medium term. Just the last three bullets, challenging gender stereotypes and changing perceptions by raising awareness and educating the public, monitoring state compliance with regional and international conventions, covenants, and charters. And at the bottom of page 40. The last three bullets. Building an effective, sustainable organization that upholds its constitutional mandate on gender equality. So what we just show is for 1819, what did the department prioritize as well as CGE. On page 5, the CGE, again, in terms of priority, said it intended to conduct 220 education and information programs per year, and that the work of the programs included inspecting legal clinics, conducting campaigns and workshops, and engaging with civil society organizations to promote gender equality. So what this places for members is just a background. So that was the mandate of both the department and the CGE, what they prioritized for the 18-19 year. So in terms of why we're doing this BRR, the Money Bills Procedures and Related Matters Amendment Act sets out the process that allows Parliament to make recommendations to the Minister of Finance to amend the budget of a national department. So Section 5.1 of the Money Bills requires that the National Assembly, through its committee, must annually assess the performance of each national department. Section 5.2 makes provision for the annual submission the budget review and recommendations report for tabling in the National Assembly for each department. It is expected of the PRR to report on the following: assessment of the department's service delivery performance given the available resources, assessment on the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's use, and forward allocation of available resources, and may include recommendations on the forward use of resources. In order to enable the committee to take informed decisions on the performance of the department for the financial year 18-19, the committee consulted on the following reports and documents: the Section 32 reports of National Treasury, so in other words, we looked at the quarterly reports, the department's annual report 18-19, as well as the report of the Auditor General and the Audit and Risk Committee, the 2018 State of the Nation Address, and the CGE's annual report. All of this information assisted the committee in providing a holistic assessment of the department and the CGE's performance for 1819, not 1818. As we move over to page 6, in terms of the method, in complying with Section 5.2 of the Money Bills, the Portfolio Committee on Women, not in the Presidency, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, held a meeting on... No, this needs to be amended. So we held a meeting on the 8th and 9th of October 2019 to consider the 2018-19 annual report of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities and the CGE. So I'll amend that. The AG was also invited to give input during the budget and view recommendation report posted on October 2019. The committee was also briefed and deliberated on the quarter reports for 18-19 and the first quarter report for 2019 of the department and the CGE. Bearing in mind, just before we did the annual report for the department and the CGE, we had that briefing by both the department and the CGE on their quarter 3 and 4 and quarter 1. The committee also held meetings to consider the annual report of the department and the Commission for Gender Equality for 2018-19. So the outline of the contents of the report, it provides an analysis of the financial and programmatic performance of the department and the CGE. The analysis takes cognizance of what government's key priorities are, how these affect women in the country, in order to determine what progress has been made, as well as identify the gaps and challenges that have to be addressed. So in terms of the overview of the key policy focus areas, in 6.1, we just highlight in terms of the National Development Plan, where reference has been made to focus on women. If we turn over to page 7, the department says it has a particular link with certain of the chapters of the NDP, and we list those at the top of the page, which is chapters 9, 3, 4, 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 15. So the BRR also examines the extent to which the department has been able to do this for the year under review, but also across the five-year MTS period. So if members think back to the briefing Thistle and I had just before the department, we not only looked at the department's achievements for targets, whether they achieved it or not, but we asked to what extent it gave effect to the mandate or took us closer to achieving that NDP outcome or any other priority set out by government. In terms of the MTSF, the department knows that it works directly, that its work is directly linked to outcome 14, the attainment of a diverse, socially cohesive society with a common national identity, and highlight that its budget allocation will be a strategic position so as to enable the department to continue its fight against structural gender imbalances, patriarchy in all its forms and manifestations. In terms of the 2018 State of the Nation Address, we highlight where specific reference was made in the President's speech to women. If we move over to page 8, in terms of the department, they're saying basically in terms of their core programs, program 2 and 3, that those are envisaged, in terms of 2, it's envisaged to provide intervention mechanisms and policies and program implementation for mainstreaming the economic empowerment and participation of women towards economic transformation and development. And that program 3 is about the evidence-based research to inform the planning and effective implementation of policies and programs for women's socioeconomic empowerment, conducting analysis and coordination of policies to inform measures for women's economic empowerment and gender equality, and the management of information and knowledge on women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights. The department has also committed itself in its strategic plan to ensuring that women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights are mainstreamed across all societies, sectors of society through its identified strategic objectives. So during the year under the review, the committee also requested the department to report on progress in terms of what the President identified in its 2018 SONA and other programs were responding to these. So in other words, we don't only look at BRR time to what extent in terms of what the department has done, whether it's moved towards fulfilling some of the priorities and the President identifies and so on. We ask as a standard question every time we have a call to report, the department to report on how are you working towards what the President identifies as a priority. So in terms of strategic priorities for the department, the priority of the department will be to ensure that women's socioeconomic empowerment and women's rights are mainstreamed across all sectors of society. And we highlight the policy and implementation. As we move over to the page, it's around monitoring and evaluation around socioeconomic empowerment, around access to justice, safety and security, the development of a gender framework, as well as conducting outreach initiatives. We're now on page 9 in terms of the policy priorities for 18-19. We highlight again what these are and listed some of the strategic objectives from the strategic plan of the department. If we move over to page 10, so in terms of the MTSF outcomes, these are the outcomes that government prioritizes, and it's not only specific to our department. It could be for a whole list of departments, but it's the responsibility of our department to say, given our priorities and programs, how do we link to the MTS outcomes? So for 18-19, in the estimates for national expenditure, that's the budget book that gets published at the beginning of the year, the department highlighted specific indicators and targets against the program and then looked at how it links to the particular MTSF outcome. So the first target was around number of reports on the implementation of the presidential directive on women's economic empowerment in the 9-point plan. It was linked to activities for program 2, and in terms of the link to the outcome, it's outcome 4. The second one is around interventions to enhance prevention and elimination of violence against women and children. They link back to program 2 again, and the outcome is 3 and 13. There's the policy framework for sanitary dignity that was located in program 2, linking to outcome 14. And then the rest of the targets, which is around public participation, 365 days, as well as an evaluation framework, international instruments, and country indicators, all fall within program 3 and is linked to outcome 14. So in other words, what the department's saying is if they achieved these outcomes within these programs, they are hoping to take us closer to the achievement of that MTSF outcome. So when we look at our observations and recommendations, members can question and ask, when we look at this achievement of the department, does it help take us any closer to social cohesion, as an example, or attaining decent employment through inclusive growth? Coming now to page 11. So from page 11 onwards, we will now look at the financial performance and program performance for the department and CGE. Up until this point, it was just background information to give members a sense of what the policy priorities are and the framework in which we work. So on number 9, end of page 11, the 2018 estimates of national expenditure indicates the department received a budgetary allocation of $230.2 million as compared to $206.2 million for the previous financial year. So of this, $80.7 million constitutes transfer payment to the Commission for Gender Equality, leaving the department with an operating budget of $149.5 million. The previous financial year, 2017-18, the department had an operating budget of $127.8 million. Thus, for the year under review, which is 18-19, the department had an increase of $21.7 million in its operating budget as compared to the previous financial year. So when we look year on year, Crystal had noted to members, we definitely have more money, the department as a whole. In terms of Table 2, we're on page 12, indicates that despite a nominal increase of $25 million in the allocation between 2017-18 and 18-19, the department has $13 million more to spend than it did in the previous financial year. When we look at the key cost drivers, 57%, which is about $85.4 million of the department's operating budget, was allocated for compensation of employees, and 40.7% was allocated for goods and services. So as compared to the previous financial year, when we had 56.2% of the department's operating budget, which was then $127.8 million, was allocated for compensation of employees, and 40.8% was allocated for goods and services. So year on year, we're seeing the majority of the department's money still goes to compensation of employees and goods and services. Those are the key cost drivers. And then when we look at spending under goods and services, the main cost drivers are travel and subsistence, which is $15.7 million, property payments, $13.256 million, expenditure for external audit costs, which is $4 million, and catering for departmental activities, which is $4 million. So these line items consume 63% of the goods and services budget. So in other words, of the total money we allocate and we spend for goods and services, 63% goes to what I've just said, catering, external auditors, travel and subsistence, and property payments. In terms of page 13, figure 1, provides a diagrammatic representation of the allocated funds. It illustrates that based on the 2018 estimates of national expenditure and the submission made to the department in May 2018, it is clear that there's been a year-on-year decrease in the administration program, less than $5.1 million, while there have been increases in Program 2, an increase of $13.3 million in Program 3, an increase of $16.8 million. must be noted that the increase in Programme 2 is inclusive of the Commission for Gender Equality transfer payment, and Programme 3 sees a significant increase for the 2018 financial year. But it's also important to consider the Department's appropriated budget was excluding the CGE transfer. With the CGE transfer, the money, when you look at Programme 2, gives you a skewed impression of what we actually have to spend within the department in terms of its operating costs. When we move over to page 14, we're now looking at the department's budget, as Crystal have briefed members on, which excludes the CGE transfer. So when removing the CGE transfer payment from the allocation, the real then change in the department's budget for 8.8 million more than the previous financial year, which is 17-18. Programme 2, in fact, only has a 4.5 million increase with the CGE transfer allocation is removed from the programme budget. Again, Programme 3 sees the most significant increase year on year. It's table 4 below. Provides an overview of the financial appropriation and expenditure per programme as of the 31st of March. The CGE's budget allocation has been excluded from the budget for Programme 2, so as better to depict departmental spending. From this figure, it's clear that the bulk of the department's budget was allocated to its administration programme, which is number 1. There's been a significant decrease in the allocation of Programme 2 and 3.5 million increase for Programme 3. Overall, the department had spent 98% of its budget. The department indicated that the underspending per program, we are now on page 15, was due to the following reasons. So for program 1, it was because of vacancy savings under communications and funds for procurement of services that were not utilized. For program 2, the main reason for the underspending was insourcing of the implementation of the sanitary dignity framework. And for Programme 3, it was vacancies, the appointment of contract workers rather than an external service provider, and that the ICT network server fund that was not used. The department reports no over-expenditure and indicates surplus or saving of 7.855 million for the financial year. There's also no over-expenditure in terms of the budgets allocated for programme, and the key cost drivers, as noted before, compensation of employees and goods and services. In terms of vitamins were made between programs to offset expenditure on compensation of employees, payments for goods and services, as well as payments for capital assets and transfers and subsidies. A 7 million environment was made from program 2 to program 1, whilst a 3.3 million environment was made from program 3 to program 1. Thus, program 1 received an additional 10.3 million vitamins from a SCORE program. So in other words, when we looked by the end of the year, Crystal had shown members in her brief in terms of what we started off with when the budget was allocated versus what we ended with. Money was actually moved from program 2 and 3, which is a SCORE program, to program 1. So besides program 1 already starting off with more money than 2 and 3, it got an additional 10.3 million from within its program. The department indicates that it had appropriated 5.2 million for consultants. The final appropriation was 2.471 million and the actual expenditure incurred was 2.467 million. However, the report on consultant appointments using appropriated funds for the period 1 April 2018 to March 2019 indicated a total contract value of 4.619 million for a total of 12 projects. Crystal again picked this up in her analysis and noted this to members. So what we saw in the annual report, so the financial statements show what they put down for consultants and what they technically spent. But when we looked at the table that under the HR and the use of consultants, there we saw a different figure. So instead of seeing 2 million in the HR section when they listed the use of consultants, we saw a total of 4.619 million being spent on 12 projects. If we move over to page 16, the financial statements, the irregular expenditure. So for the year under review, it was 4.095 million.
This was primarily as a result of non-compliance with procurement processes, fruitless and wasteful expenditure was 334,000. In terms of the unauthorized expenditure, the total was 30 million. And again, this was historical debt, which the AG had highlighted to us, and which came from 2011-12 and 2015-16, and the allocated amounts are stipulated there. In terms of the financial indication, 9.2, the department maintains that it requires adequate funding in order to function optimally and that the current resource allocation was insufficient. So constantly what the department has told us, what they have is not enough for them to do what they need to. So they're saying the budget is too little for them to effectively carry on doing what they would like to. So in terms of our concluding comments on financial performance, the committee concurs the findings of the AG and the relevant recommendations made in this regard. The department managed to spend nearly its entire budget but was unable to deliver efficiently on targets within its program that would give effect to its mandate. The committee notes the work that was outsourced to consultants to deliver on targets and expenditure incurred despite a large cohort of staff in the program, that the most of the expenditure incurred was for compensation of employees and goods and services. So moving on to page 17 for the Commission for Gender Equality. The CGE briefed the committee during all the quarterly reports on its finances, and the Commission's report was submitted to the committee at every quarter. In terms of strategic objective one, we list what the purpose is. It achieved 9 out of 6 targets. It was allocated 24 million. I just need to add in what it spent for 18-19, and it shows what the sub-strategies are. Moving on to strategic objective 2 on page 18, we indicate what the purpose of that strategic objective was for the CGE. So for strategic objective 2 for the CGE, it planned to achieve 12 targets and achieved all of them. It was allocated 20 million. I'll include what it spent for the financial year, and it lists the sub-strategies. For strategic objective 3, at the end of page 18, it achieved 11 of the 12 targets. It was allocated over 35 million, and I'll include what it spent for that financial year. Moving on to 10.4, in terms of the CGE's budget, the Commission for Gender Equality received an allocation of 80.7 million for 18-19. This is a 2.4 million increase from the 2017-18 financial year. Considering that the CGE received an 8.4 increase between 16-17 and 17-18, this 2.4 million is a nominal amount. The greatest proportion of the Commission's budget is allocated to compensation of employees, which is about 70%, and goods and services equate to 29%. The Commission has previously indicated to the Portfolio Committee on Women that the most of its work is carried out by internal personnel, and thus the main driver of spending is the compensation of employees. So for the year under review, the CGE has augmented its income by 1.1 million through interest received, funding income, and donations received. It brings the total income to 81.1 million, 8 million as at the end of March 2019. The Commission recorded an operational surplus of just over 785,000. Savings were recorded as a result of under-expenditure on personnel costs due to vacancies. Bearing in mind that during 18-19, the vacancies were around the commissioners. The commissioners' term had come to an end. Pollens was in the process of doing interviews. So by the time they were appointed, it wasn't actually in 18-19, it was in the following financial year, 19-20. So of the 985,000, over 864,000 was irregular expenditure incurred during the 18-19 financial year, and 121,000 was incurred during the previous financial years. In terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the Commission incurred to the amount of over 20,000 for the year under review, and the reason for that was incurred as we move over to page 20, was as a result of incorrect payments of medical aid subsidies to employees who, in terms of internal policies, were not entitled to receive the subsidy. Management has instituted corrective action to recover the amounts. So 10.5, looking again with the CGE around HR. The Commission indicated that they had 112 funded posts during 18-19 and a vacancy rate of 16% with 18 vacancies. And again, much of these vacancies were because of the Commissioner posts that still needed to be filled. This is an increase in vacancies from the 2017-18 financial year when the vacancy rate was 10% and only 11 vacancies. So even though it was a cause of concern then, we do know now that the Commissioners have all been appointed. The CGE has previously indicated that while it recruits highly skilled personnel, it's hard to retain them due to its limited budget. Staff often leave due to the better financial offers, which the CGE cannot compete with, and this impacts on the CGE being able to achieve targets and activities set out in its mandate. The CGE had 94 employees during the period under review, of which 90 were permanent and 4 were temporary employees or interns. The majority of the CGE's employees are female, just under 60%. During the period under review, 54% of employees participated in skills development opportunities. The personnel expenditure amount came to just over 55.4 million, of which 53.8 was expenditure on salaries. A total of 77 employees received performance-related rewards during the period under review, resulting in expenditure of 2.7 million. A total of 70 employees left the CGE during 18-19. Reasons for leaving primarily related to contracts which expired, which was 6, while 8 personnel members resigned. Moving now on to the AG findings. The department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings on compliance with legislation and regulations, in particular procurement and contract management, expenditure management, strategic planning and consequence management. We then look at what the key concerns were by the AG. In terms of page 21, they, as we noted previously, it's around the procurement and contract management. So we, some of the goods and services with a transaction value below 500,000 were procured without pertaining the required price quotations as required by Treasury regulation. In terms of the expenditure management, the AG found that effective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure amounting to over 4 million as disclosed in note 24 in the financial statement. It also found that steps were not taken to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 334,000 as well as irregular expenditure as per the Treasury Regulation 9.1 of the PFMA. In terms of strategic planning, quarterly reports were not submitted to the executive authority as required by Treasury. In terms of consequence management, the AG indicated that it could not find sufficient appropriate audit evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who had incurred irregular and or the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the records management, the lack of appropriate and sufficient audit evidence was due to lack of proper and complete records that were not maintained. In terms of leadership, the AG found ineffective oversight exercised by leadership in the department regarding compliance with laws and regulations. Leadership on oversight particularly relating to the implementation of the audit action plan as well as information technology governance requires urgent intervention. If we move over to page 22, in terms of compliance, the AG found that there was non-compliance with laws and regulations which could have been prevented had compliance been properly reviewed and monitored by senior management. With regards to the CGE, the findings were mainly in terms of internal control deficiencies and expenditure management. For the internal control, for the CGE, the AG notes that there was insufficient oversight responsibility exercised with regards to compliance and related internal controls, particularly in the areas of procurement planning and contract management. This led to irregular expenditure with another material finding as noted below. In terms of expenditure management, the AG found that effective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure. fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The Commission incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the amount of over 20,000 for the year under review. And again, this was as a result of incorrect payments of medical aid subsidies to employees who, in terms of the internal policies, were not entitled to receive the subsidy, and that management had instituted corrective action to recover the amounts. The Commission for Gender Equality's Audit Committee agreed with the findings of the AG and commended the Commission for putting in place a management audit action plan to address risk and related issues as they arose. The system for internal control was therefore considered effective for the period under review. Moving now on to page 23, this looks at the program performance of the department. As Crystal noted to members, for 1819, for the department, the total number of targets set was 32. We achieved 20 overall and we did not achieve 10, so the success rate is 68.7%, and the total budget spent was 94.7%. And then we looked at per program what the success rate was. So although the department has managed to spend nearly 98%, I just need to clarify the 98 versus the 94%. I'll just check with Chris for once I've done this, because I think in the annual report it puts down, and in the presentation, 98%. They'd only managed a 68.7% success rate in the attainment of its indicated targets. Only 22 out of 32 targets were met during the period under review. The majority of targets that were met under were under Program C. Unmet targets were primarily in the administration program and Program 3, not 2. Yeah, Program 2 and 1 had unmet targets. The department also reports that overall it has seen a performance improvement year on year, with a success rate of 59.2% in 17-18 as compared to 36.8% in 16-17. So the argument from the department is, if you look at 18-19, they say they're definitely better when compared to a year ago and 2 years ago. While this is commendable, it must be noted that the majority of targets in Program 1 related to compliance matters, and the core program's targets included events, frameworks, and reports. And the latter, which is the events, the frameworks, and reports, is still in draft form and has yet to be fully implemented. Unmet targets were primarily in Program 2, which effectively saw a decrease in performance from 50% in 17-18 to 20% in 18-19. While the program has underperformed, nearly the entire program budget has been spent, which is 99.4%. That's program two, the problematic program. The performance of core delivery programs has been raised as a concern at the Portfolio Committee on numerous occasions. Moving on to page 24, we take a closer look at program one. I'm just going to highlight some of the issues here. The allocation for this was 78.6 million, and the final appropriation was 89.759 million. Just to reflect here again on Program 1, it always had more money compared to Program 2 and 3, and because of those vitamins which Crystal had showed members, this Program 1, actually by the end of the financial year, we saw had an additional 10.3 million. So the for Program 1, we saw on page 24, intended to achieve 15 targets, of which 11 were achieved and 4 were not. It spent 88 million, which was about 98.1% of its allocation. And again, the increase was 10.1 million, not 11.1. I'll just correct that. Program 2, this is now your core program. As we move over to page 25, so this program only had 5 targets for 18-19. It only achieved 1. And this is the program in which it does transfer to the CGE. So when you take that allocation away, it was allocated 25.7 million and it spent 21.620 million. So it achieved 1 target and spent 99.4%. And just to reiterate, 4 million rand was actually moved from this program 2 to program 1. In terms of program 3, if we move over to page 26, at the bottom of page 26, the program plan to achieve 12 targets and achieve 10 and did not achieve 2. It was allocated 44.8 million and spent over 31 million, which is 84% of its budget. And again, this program transferred about 6.9 million from this program to program 1. Moving on to page 27, in terms of HR, we just highlight again what Crystal had pointed out to members about the staff complement. The majority of personnel in the department's employ in the administration program, 68 out of 111 approved, 7 out of 23 were additional, so therefore 75 out of 135. The department has 32 employees in senior management. It had a turnover rate of 8%. In terms of people leaving the department for the year under review, 9 staff left, 4 staff members resigned, 1 was dismissed, 2 was transferred to other departments, and 2 had their contracts expired. There were 3 grievances, 7 disputes were lodged during the period under review. 4 members were on precautionary suspension. 7 staff members received a performance award of 127,000. The department also indicated that the performance awards that were issued in 18-19 actually related to the previous financial year, 17-18. So out of 28 staff in senior management, 14 had signed performance agreements. The reasons cited for this include late submissions of performance agreements, suspensions, and staff in the ministry only appointed in April 2018. Consequence management in this regard included the issuing of demand letters and disqualification from performance rewards. 3 employees are recorded as receiving salaries exceeding the level determined by job evaluation. The department indicated this is a measure to retain or retract services. And again, just to highlight that in terms of consultants, it had used it on 12 projects through the financial year, which amounted to 4.619 million. The department is not able to indicate the estimated duration or work days of these consultants, and is also unable to indicate whether consultants were historically disadvantaged individuals. In terms of future plans, the annual report for 18-19 does not reflect anything specific under the future plans. And then just some concluding comments on the service delivery performance for 18-19. So these were some of the key highlights which the department noted in its annual report in terms of achievements. That is, improved in terms of performance, it developed the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation auditing framework. It developed a 25-year review. The vacancy rate was less than 10%. It resolved 100% of DC cases. The development of the sanitary dignity framework was developed and implemented. It had awareness campaigns. It conducted stakeholder engagements. It developed a women's financial inclusion framework, and also it had a diagnostic review report on the national gender machinery. Just in terms of reports, it's important for members to know that we actually haven't had a formal briefing by the department on any of these reports. And I think it's going forward, it's something that we definitely need to engage the department with. With the CGE, when they develop a report, they actually table it in Parliament and it gets referred to our committee. So far, the department actually hasn't tabled anything for us to consider. So thus are the notable achievements. Many relate to compliance matters in the administration program and the development of draft reports which have yet to be finalized and fully implemented after 5 years. So of concern is the impact of the unmet targets from 18-19, which totals 10, and the impact on financial and programmatic performance of 19-20, including the unmet targets of quarter 1. The performance of the department in the first quarter was at 58%. In quarter one, the department indicated that out of 31 planned targets, 18 were achieved and 13 were not. For program one, it achieved 13 out of 15 targets, 2 targets were not achieved. For program two, 7 were planned for, of which 1 was achieved. Here again, we can see by the time we looked at Q1 for 1920, we are on the top of page 21, program two is again a problem. The performance is still poor. Program three planned to achieve 9 targets, of which 4 were achieved and 5 were not. Hence, there are 13 targets which were rolled over to the second quarter. So why are we highlighting Q1? So besides the unmet targets for the whole of the financial 18-19 year, that 10 which is rolled over, we also have now 13 that were not met in Q1. So that's a lot of unmet targets. So it places a lot of pressure on the quarter 2 and 3, even 4, for the current financial year 1920. In terms of this, a summary around the finance and the service delivery performance of for the department. Again, yeah, it's just a summary of what we have discussed before. So we saw what the allocation was for 17-18. It was 206 billion. In terms of 2018, it was 230. The operating budget was 149. There was definitely an increase in terms of 21.7 million in terms of the department's operating budget. It spent 96.9% of the final appropriation and achieved 22 targets with a surplus of 7.85 million. The key cost drivers, we noted again, is compensation of employees and goods and services. And we highlighted there what the key drivers are under the goods and services. As we move over to page 30, just to give members a summary in terms of the finances for Q1, the allocation were for the 1920 financial year is 244 million, and by Q1 we spent about 24%, which is 59.5 million. I'll just add in the budget for the compensation of employees with an expenditure of 8.1 million. And the under-expenditure of 3.3 million. So what the department notes by Q1 in 1920, the reason for the under-expenditure was, again, vacancies in department, cost of living adjustments were not implemented. The payment of compensation of employees for ministry for the month of April was paid by the Department of Social Development. The irregular expenditure incurred for Q1 amounted to over a million, and that was for unauthorized travel, deviation not justifiable, local content specification not included, VE points not incorrectly allocated, no deviation approval from normal supply chain management process, which was obtained from the accounting officer prior to appointment of a service provider. So what members can see here, if we think of what the problems were around their finances and compliance and what the AG and the Audit and Risk Committee told us about the department, by Q1, those problems still persisted. So for Q1 on page 30, the department reported that program 1 was allocated 84.4 million, the expenditure was 23.5, the overspending against the predicted expenditure was due to goods and services and the clearing of advance paid to Durko and the final expenditure for the commission of on the status of women for 62 and 63, which took place in March 27 in 2018. So by Q1 of 1920, we still see the department deal with matters not just for the previous financial year, but even for 2 years prior to that. Program 2 was allocated 24 million, which excludes the transfer to the CGE with an actual expenditure of 7.4, which translates to 30.9%, the overspending was mainly due to goods and services for the launch of public hearings for gender-based violence, which was planned for December 2018, and that in Program 3 it was allocated 50.9, an actual expenditure of 8.5 million. The underspending was as a result mainly on compensation of employees as a result of vacant posts that was not filled by the end of June. and that the cost of living adjustments for senior management staff had not yet been implemented. Again, the erratum to the APP, the committee noted that the department submitted an erratum for the APP as targets were shifted from program 2 to 3, which I had highlighted to members before. So that, in summary, gives us a full assessment of what the department had done and the CGE. The next sections 13 and 14 now looks at members' observations and recommendations. What I try to do is to capture, based on our minutes and the engagements and the deliberations, what members had observed, and then to see for every observation, could we possibly have a recommendation? And maybe there were several observations and just one recommendation, but the idea is to tie the two together. So 13.1, the general observations, based on engagements with all the key stakeholders. The committee commends the department and the CGE for tabling the annual reports within the specified time. The committee concurred with all the findings and recommendations of the AG and the ARC. The committee observed that 68.7%, which is 32 of the department's targets, were met, and 40.8% was not met, while 94.7% of the budget was spent, which comes to about 141 million, with a surplus saving of 7.84 million. While the department's increase in performance is to be commended, why? It moved from 59% in 17-18 to 68% in 18-19. The department's dismal performance in Program 2 of its core program is concerning, and the majority of the targets met in Program 1 relate to compliance matters in terms of the development and submission of reports, while the targets achieved in the core programs were the development of frameworks, reports, many of which were drafted. As we move to page 32, the committee noted a particular concern, the discrepancies between what the department has reported as targets achieved versus that was reported by the AG and the ARC. Despite the department's explanations to the committee for the different understanding as to why these anomalies occurred, the committee had accepted the reports of the AG and the ARC with findings and recommendations as matters that required serious attention by the department. So what we put down in this observation is we noted that there were discrepancies, so we acknowledge and heard the department's explanation, but it still doesn't mean the department didn't accept what the AG had presented to us and the ARC. As with the previous financial years, the committee questioned the nature of expenditure by the department, given that a few targets were met in its core program, which is 2 and 3, with many of the deliverables having been long-standing, were in draft form, and some had even been undertaken by consultants. Yet the main cost drivers are for cost of employment and goods and services. The committee remains particularly concerned with the limited number of tangible deliverables by the department that have been implemented in its final state that fulfills its strategic objectives at the end of the MTSF cycle. As such, the committee questions what evidence is there to motivate this expenditure. So, just to pause at this point, just to reiterate to members, we had asked remember the AG was saying they couldn't find often evidence to say that they achieved a target. They wanted to pass the report. In turn, when we prepped for the presentations, we had sent letters to the department to say, please send to the committee a report. So whether it's a report on a dialogue or your whatever framework you've done, send it to committee, because that, for the committee, is the evidence to show that you have actually achieved this target. So besides talking to the committee about what you said you've done, show us the actual proof in the form of a report. Because bearing in mind, we're not a service delivery department. So we can't go out to a clinic and see how many nurses there are and how many medications have been issued. We can't go out to a school to look at how many books there are. We rely on if the department says they developed a framework and a report, we actually need to see the framework and the report. That's your evidence. What the department did give to us is a presentation of all its achievements. So all they did was highlight in summary what the achievements were. I think to date we may have only received 3 draft frameworks. It was a draft framework on the sanitary dignity, the gender responsive budgeting, and women's financial inclusion framework. So from what I recall, Nelisa and Crystal can just remind me, but technically what we have as copies in electronic version is only 3 things. Revised draft, and again draft sanitary dignity framework, women's financial inclusion, and the gender responsive budgeting. H, the committee noted that department's revision to its APP and relocation of targets between programs. Notwithstanding this, the department has changed its APP for the past 3 consecutive years, which is disconcerting and points to poor planning, this despite having a dedicated unit to deal with strategic planning in the department. Again, it's to reiterate to members, they keep changing the APP, but they've got a dedicated staff and unit with people to look at strategic planning. So if we have dedicated people looking at strategic planning, how is it that we have to change the APP throughout the year once after it's been tabled? The committee observed that the department was not effectively implementing the AG recommendations and those of the ALC, hence the repeat findings. The committee raised this as a major concern. The committee notes with concern, despite the repeated requests for documents and reports to be submitted to the committee for consideration, these were not forthcoming in the year under review. This compromises the ability of the committee to conduct effective oversight of the department. The committee noted concern that even though the department's mandate is to promote gender equality and the economic empowerment of women, the evidence provided hereto was not convincing and did not appear to translate to visible changes to women in South Africa, particularly the most vulnerable. Now, the committee noted with concern the AG and ALC findings, which relates to the lack of accountability, which is attributed to the leadership within the department. If we move over to page 33, that would become M and N, those 2 bullet points. The committee remains concerned about whether the department is optimally utilizing its budget and whether it was in fact giving effect to its mandate. The committee remains concerned about the repeat findings both by the AG and the ARC regarding leadership. In 2017-18, the AG noted that adequate oversight was not effectively and timely exercised by the accounting officer and senior management regarding performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. In addition, the action plan to address audit findings were developed but not always effectively implemented and monitored. The latter has regressed even further as the audit action plan was only approved in February 19, a month before the financial year end. So what I noted in the last bullet point, which will become N, is that in the previous financial year, the AG made a very specific finding and recommendation around leadership accountability and what is required. But between what was recommended and a year later, there's definitely been regression. Observations with respect to the Department of Women, Youth and Persons Disabilities, I'll change that title. So overall, the committee commends the department for the increase in achievements between the financial year and the review and the previous financial year. The committee notes a slight increase in achievement of targets within core programs 2 and 3 from 64% in 17-18 to 65% in 18-19. And that's for the collective for both program 2 and 3. The committee notes that the highlights of significant achievements listed in the annual report, which is on page 51 by the department, but questioned why many of these deliverables are still in draft form when reflected in the service delivery achievements under program 2. Furthermore, the committee had also noted the discrepancies between what the department cited as targets achieved versus the AG findings, which points to the contrary. The reporting of achievements thus remains inconsistent within the annual report. All of these deliverables have yet to be presented to the committee in the form of report and or tabled and deferred for consideration. The committee acknowledges the department's request for these to be presented and discussed by the committee. The committee commends the CGE for attaining most of its targets for the year under review, given the funding constraints and vacancies. The CGE strove to implement innovative means to achieve its targets through partnerships, commitment, and dedication by staff to give effect to the Commission's mandate. As we move over to page 34, in terms of policy imperatives, the committee notes that similar to the previous financial year, the department again does not clearly indicate how the attainment of its 21 targets for that is achieved in 1819 has contributed towards progress in achieving government's key priorities, namely the NDP priorities and the MTSF outcomes. Moreover, it is unclear how the department has contributed towards achievement of these priorities. Okay, the latter in latter sentence must be removed because it's a repeat. In terms of B, the committee notes the department's silence on any reference to the National Gender Policy Framework in its 1819 annual report, even though it had stated in the previous annual report that as part of its future plans, it will be reviewing the country's outdated gender policy. As such, the committee maintained that in the absence of a gender mainstreaming framework, which has yet to be fully implemented, the committee was concerned as to what policies the department was using to drive gender mainstreaming and how the rest of government was guided, is to be guided in this regard. The MNCE framework has yet to be completed and fully implemented by the department, as the guidelines were being developed for the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation and audit framework. Again, under C, it's just to highlight the National Gender Policy Framework and how little to no reference was made in the annual report. I'll just see if I can condense B and C. In terms of 13.3, the governance and the operational issues. For the AG findings, the committee noted with concern the repeat findings by the AG and the repeated calls by the committee itself, the department, to address particular matters which appeared not to be taken seriously, as not all of these recommendations were implemented by the end of the financial year. In terms of 35, B at the top of page 35 for the Audit and Risk Committee, the committee acknowledges the efforts of the ARC for the year under review in monitoring the department and raising matters that require attention. However, despite these early warnings received, the committee's concern that the implementation of recommendations made by the AG and the ARC were not always forthcoming by senior management, and consequent management appears to be questionable despite the irregular meetings between the ARC and the department senior management. This is a repeat finding from the previous financial year where the former committee had raised the same matter. Furthermore, the committee notes that the ARC concurred with the findings of the recommendations of the AG. The committee agrees with the ARC that the capacity constraints should be addressed. The committee concurs with the ARC in as so far as questioning how optimally the department is utilizing its budget and whether it was focusing on the key issue that gives effect to its mandate. In terms of compliance, the committee notes concerns the repeat findings with regard to irregular expenditure, unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred by the department, and question whether the department's efforts to deal with the root cause of the problem and its ability to make strong, decisive action against transgressors as these issues persist from year to year. Consequence management does not appear to be a deterrent as problems persist. To this end, the committee noted with concern the AG's finding that the AG was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who had incurred irregular expenditure, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. D, the specific matters related to supply chain management in terms of procurement and contract management were unacceptable and should not have occurred but has continued from year to year. Again, this is a repeat finding. In terms of forensic investigations, the committee has noted the investigations initiated by the Department of Irregular Expenditure, which was noted on page 147 of the annual report, and urges the department to deal with these expeditiously. just to pause at this point, in terms of forensic investigations, when we looked at the previous financial annual report for 17-18, we picked up that by the 31st of March 2018, there were investigations that were actually not concluded in the previous financial year. And the recommendation for 2018 was that the department actually brief the committee as to what was the outcome of those investigations. So I've checked, Crystal checked, and Elise were checked. For the year under review, we actually didn't get an update of those old investigations. That's from 17-18. So besides the old investigations, we also see the new investigations based on that irregular expenditure. And in the department's briefing to us, they didn't mention anything about old investigations that were concluded or not. In terms of F, page 35, internal audit, the committee was also concerned that the audit and risk committee reports that the internal audit function did not timely complete the annual audit plan approved by the audit and risk committee due to delays in the provision of information by management, audit purposes, and limited human and financial resources within the internal audit division. This too is a repeat finding from the previous financial year. If you move over to page 36, notwithstanding the fact that the internal audit unit was not well capacitated and therefore was not operating optimally, the delay in providing the requisite information is unacceptable. As indicated in the previous financial year, the committee seeks clarity from the department as to what the implications are then for the 18 financial period, given the audit and risk committee has noted with concern that the department was unable to resolve matters raised by the AG in the previous outcome of 17-18. The committee calls on the department to strengthen the internal audit with human resource material capacity. Here, it's to show the stuff around internal audit. It's not just a problem for 18-19. It had come in the previous financial year too, 17-18. In terms of G, internal controls, the committee noted with concern the AG's findings of internal control deficiencies, which was a repeat finding from the previous financial year. This is in contrast to the quarterly report briefings by the department of the committee, as no major concerns were brought to the attention of the committee for the year under review. The committee noted with concern the audit committee's report, which indicates it was identified that the system of internal control was not entirely effective during the year under review, as several instances of non-compliance with internal controls reported by both the internal audit and the AG. The department was also unable to effectively and fully resolve the matters raised by the AG in the 16-17 internal audit, which was a similar finding to the previous financial year. This is in contrast with what the department has presented to the committee during the quarterly reviews for 17-18, in which it shows that risk mitigation was cited as a standing item on the agenda during audit and risk committee meeting. So despite the meetings, recommendations made, the problems persisted. In terms of risk management, the committee commends the department for the appointment of the director, risk management and internal auditors as a means of strengthening risk management. However, despite the filling of the post and a fully functional risk mitigation committee, the APP was, this would need to be deleted because this was a finding from the previous financial year, the 17-18. The committee notes with concern that the department's official response for risk management for the larger part of 16 had no previous experience of risk management. The committee notes with concern that the department did not achieve the 90% of target high rated risk in the department's risk profile, reducing risk rating, but only could attain 85% due to capacity challenges. No explanation provided by the department outlining what the 5% variance entailed. I just need to check this. I think this may have been from the previous financial year. So I'll just double check the matter around risk management. In terms of leadership, the committee noted with serious concern the AG findings that the department exercised ineffective oversight regarding performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. Moreover, non-compliance with laws and regulations could have been prevented and compliance being properly reviewed and monitored by senior management. This finding is in contrast to what the department had presented to the committee during the course of reviews in which it reassured the committee that compliance matters were being addressed. Based on the findings of the AG and the ARC, in particular the county officer and senior management, did not exercise adequate oversight responsibilities with regards to financial expenditure, performance reporting, and compliance legislation. The audit action plan was inadequately implemented by responsible managers to redress internal and external audit findings, indicating that an audit action plan was developed and implemented. This is a repeat finding from the previous financial year. But I'd also like to say that besides ineffective implementation, this audit action plan, remember, was only approved a month before the financial year end. It was only approved in February 2019. So this is a serious indictment in terms of leadership, that how it could have allowed for 11 months for an audit action plan to not have been approved. In terms of consequence management, the committee raises concern, as it is done in the previous financial year, about the lack of effective consequence management for employees who fail to comply with supply and chain management or performance prescripts. The committee raises concerns with the effectiveness of the consequence management which the department implemented, given the systemic nature of the problems that have persisted since the inception of the department. The committee noted that the leadership of the department should take more stringent action to enforce compliance and implement consequence management for employees who fail to comply, especially in relation to the senior management structure, particularly the accounting officer, the DG. So, now we specifically look at administration. The top of page 58. Starting with HR, in terms of the top-heavy structure, the committee noted the structure of the department continues to be top-heavy. In other words, we have many officials in a senior management position being paid with at high salaries. Vacancies, the committee commends the department for keeping the vacancy below 10%. While the vacancy rate at the beginning of the financial year was 4.7, it remained stable throughout the financial year and it was at 5.6 by the fourth quarter. In terms of the use of consultants, the committee noted the department continued to procure the services of consultants during the year under review, which was concerning given the request from National Treasury to curtail costs in terms of consultancy. The department indicated that it utilized the services of consultants for 12 projects, which has amounted to $4.6 million, which is slightly more than the $4 million in the previous financial year. The department continued to utilize the services of a consultant for the dialogues held in 3 provinces, this despite the former committee's recommendation that the department desist from doing that and instead utilize its existing staff with the assistance of the CGE. Previously, the former committee noted that when they came to dialogues, they were using an external facilitator as well as people to write up the report. And the comments from the committee was, use your existing staff, and if you need facilitation, look to the CGE and see how they could assist you. The target on the DTI incentive scheme was also achieved, having utilized services of a consultant for $800,000. This brings into question what the role of officials were within the respective program who are responsible for the delivery of that target that was undertaken by consultants, yet many of these officials earn between $500,000 or just under R1 million per annum. So in terms of the structure and the capacity with the department, the committee still remains concerned about the top-heavy structure of the department in the administration program, the core program functioning far less staff. This despite an organizational review implemented by the department and the skills audit undertaken in 2015. The committee is cognizant of the department's response that the lack of adequate capacity has impacted directly on its ability to deliver on targets. However, the committee noted that the department had identified a set of deliverables through its annual performance plan and based on such the non-delivery then cannot be attributed to poor planning. In other words,
The department knew what its resources were, both financial and human, and based on that, the department looked at what it would achieve for the year under review. So to indicate to the committee a year later, the reason why we couldn't achieve that was a lack of capacity, meant that from the onset, in terms of its planning, knowing what its capacity was, it should have ensured that whatever it set out to do needed to be within its reach. Of particular concern, the committee noted the following findings by consultants in the report. What I've noted here was previously the department had asked a consultant to look at issues around monitoring and evaluation, and I thought it was important to reiterate again this to members. So what the consultant found 2 years ago was that none of the current employees have an in-depth technical knowledge and skills on planning, implementation, and management of M&E. None of the employees have a professional qualification in M&E, which is a prerequisite to M&E function. Employees cannot be considered as M&E practitioners due to inadequate technical expertise in M&E practice. The current level of technical expertise poses a challenge in the ability of the unit to implement and sustain M&E system. One of the employees have completed a credit-bearing short course in aligning, planning, budgeting, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation at a post-school education institution. So this report showed that there's a problem around the capacity around M&E, but this was identified more than 2 years ago. Why I'm highlighting this again to members is to say, well, 2 years on, how have you addressed the issue around monitoring and evaluation around your capacity, because you knew what the problem was 2 years ago. In terms of EDC cases, even the department cites the target 100% of all disciplinary cases resolved internally within 90 days of the cases being initiated as achieved, the committee was concerned that it did not correlate with the AG and the ARC findings, which reported for the same financial period. The AG noted that it was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that DC cases were taken against officials who had incurred irregular expenditure, nor against officials who had incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As noted above, there are 8 instances of irregular expenditure documented, 6 referred for investigation and 1 under investigation. Hence, this does not correlate with the 4 DC cases which the department refers to, of which 2 are finalized. One employee was found guilty and 1 dismissed. 1 employee acquitted of all charges and 2 are still outstanding or pending. The committee concurs with the ARC recommendation that the case involving the suspended Deputy Director for Supply Chain Management should be expedited. Furthermore, the committee remains concerned that this illustrates how the department's target pertaining to DC cases resolved was achieved and if the ARC referred to a case that is still not resolved. In summary, even though the department says the target achieved for DC cases was met, but the AG is telling us the cases that are still in process as well as the ARC. If we move over to page 40, F notes issues around arbitration. The ARC indicates to us that there were 5 matters and 2 for litigation for the year under review. With regards to the arbitration matters, 4 to the 5 cases were still pending and 1 matter was finalized and the department employee agreed to a settlement payment of 12 months salary to the applicant without reinstatement. The 2 litigation cases brought against the department were also still pending. In terms of suspensions, the committee remains concerned about the cost implications of officials that have been placed on suspension. In terms of performance rewards, promotion and salary band, the committee noted concern the stipulation of performance rewards within the annual report. It is unclear on what basis the performance awards were allocated or notch increases were awarded. The department's performance over the past 2 financial years has been poor. Many of the deliverables in draft form with no tangible evidence of the impact and the significant amount of the work within the department been outsourced to consultants or contract workers. In terms of 13.42, the financial performance of the department, the committee's observation for unauthorized expenditure, the department did not incur unauthorized expenditure for the financial year under review. The committee notes the historical debt that is still reflected in the department's financial statements as condonement still needs to be considered. In terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the committee noted that the fruitless expenditure amounted to $334,000 for the year under review, was concerned, and that the committee was concerned by the AG findings that effective steps were not taken to prevent this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the irregular expenditure, $4 million was incurred for 18-19. It was a result of non-compliance with supply chain management and processes, which is concerning for the committee. The department indicates that it does not have internal capacity to undertake investigations and will source the services of an external contractor in this regard. Previously, the department disclosed irregular expenditure amounting to $6.1 million in the 17-18 financial year relating to non-compliance with procurement processes. This was a similar finding in the 16-17 financial year when the committee noted irregular expenditure of $6.3 million, which was mainly due to non-compliance with procurement processes. The committee notes with concern the type of internal controls within the department to avoid irregular expenditure. Of importance to note was that the transgressions for irregular expenditure incurred for 17-18 were referred to National Treasury for investigation. These investigations were still in progress as at 31 March 2018, but no feedback was given to the committee in the 18-19 annual report in this regard. In terms of violence, the committee was concerned about the perpetual violence between programs as this indicated poor planning. Violations were made between programs to offset expenditure on compensation of employees, payment for goods and services, as well as payment for capital assets and transfers and subsidies. A 10.1 million rand violation was made from program 2 to 3 to program 1 for goods and services, compensation of employees and transfers and subsidies. In terms of supply chain management, 13.43, the committee noted concern the number of invoices paid outside the 30-day period and was unsure about what this amounted to and for what this was. The committee was also particularly concerned about the department's lack of adherence to the Preferential Procurement Framework Act and regulations in light of the following findings by the AG. Some of the goods and services with a transaction value below 500,000 were procured without obtaining the price quotations as required by Treasury regulation. C, despite the review of the supply chain management policy in 16-17, which was revised and approved in 17-18, in order to strengthen the compliance with supply chain management prescripts and prevent possible occurrence of irregular expenditure, the AG notes that for the year under review, the department incurred irregular expenditure to the amount of $4 million. This was primarily a result of non-compliance with procurement and supply chain management process, which is concerning to the committee as this is a repeat finding. The department indicates that it does not have internal capacity to undertake investigations and will source the services of an external contractor in this regard. Moving on to page 42D, the committee notes with concern the ARC finding that states 44 out of the 57, which is 77% of transactions related to transactions where approval for deviation was granted in instances where a minimum of 3 quotations could not be obtained from the prospective suppliers by supply chain management unit. The majority of the deviations emanated from the procurement of catering for departmental events. The committee concurs with the ARC recommendation that management should improve and strengthen planning for the procurement of goods and services and monitor procurement plans for the departmental events, which are the major contributor of deviations for the procurement prescripts. The committee remains concerned about the perpetual transgressions that occur and the lack of effective consequence management implemented that would deter officials offending in this regard. In terms of ICT 13.44, the committee notes with concern the ARC finding that ICT governance structure was not functioning properly and that the department's management committee was staffed to improve the ICT governance and ICT systems in the department. Furthermore, the ARC goes on to state that the production environment failed or crashed in October 2018.
The transversal systems and the information sharing storage system was affected by the failure. The transversal systems were restored, but the information sharing and the storage systems are not yet reinstated. The committee noted that the ICT network server funds that were not used for the year under review for the year crashed in 2018. So in other words, the servers crashed, but there were funds that were not utilized for ICT network server. Now looking specifically at the department's core programs in terms of the committee's observations. In terms of unmet targets, the committee was concerned, I'll just change D to A. The committee was concerned about the 10 unmet targets from 18-19 as well as quarter one of 19-20 and the impact this would have on the rest of the 19-20 financial year. So we're talking about the rollover of targets. If we had 10 from the 18-19 financial year, and I think we had 13 unmet targets in Q1 of 19-20, it means that there's 23 unmet targets which you roll over to Q2 if you haven't resolved it yet. And that places pressure on Q2 to still deliver on that targets plus unmet targets. So unmet targets were primarily in the administration program and program 2 that has consistently performed poorly even in Q1. The department also reports that the overall it has seen a performance improvement year on year. Moving to page 43, it had a success rate of 68.7% as compared to 59% in 17-18, which is commendable. So we commend them for having an improvement. In terms of performance outcomes, the committee was concerned that despite the department's intentions, it was not addressing the socioeconomic challenges faced by women in the country in order to bring about gender equality, as there was no tangible evidence to prove this. Outstanding reports, the committee noted its highlights of achievements, reference made to draft reports and the like. Whilst the committee commends the department for the work undertaken, it had not yet received any of these updated reports as requested, nor was it briefed. Policy and law reform, the committee was concerned that the department has not yet briefed the committee on work related to policy and law reform it had undertaken, but notes these achievements. In terms of draft frameworks, in the overview of the departmental performance on page 24 of the annual report, the department notes that it developed the following draft frameworks in 17-18, which was the draft gender responsive planning budgeting framework, the women's financial inclusion, as well as the sanitary dignity. However, in under program 2 in the annual report, the financial women's inclusion framework is captured as developed and cited as an achievement. Similarly, the gender-responsive budgeting framework is captured as developed and finalized and also cited as an achievement, thus giving the impression that these frameworks are not draft but finalized. The committee remains concerned that the department has yet to finalize these frameworks and that consultations have been ongoing for the gender-responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation and audit framework since 2014 or the implementation questionable at the end of the MTSF cycle. So what we put down here under draft frameworks, in 17-18, we noted that these frameworks were draft and they reported on them as finalized. In the 18-19 annual report, the department makes reference to all of these frameworks again as being achieved, but still draft and being reviewed or updated. In terms of M&E and the impact on government policies and programs, the department noted that it conducted monitoring and evaluation. I'll just include that. The committee commends the department for undertaking the work, but notes that these reports have not yet been submitted to the committee for consideration, and that the discrepancies within the annual report reflecting these as achievements is concerning. J. The department notes in its annual report for 18-19 that the policy inputs were made into several draft documents received from government departments and covered a broad spectrum which included research. We move over to page 44. This is commendable to the committee. However, it's unclear as to what statutory the department uses to decide on which policies to provide input into within a given financial year given the broad spectrum which it has covered. Furthermore, the department also indicates that it provided input into projects. I'll just list those. And that was highlighted under some of the achievements. It's not clear what the inputs referred to and by who this was done, as it wasn't being submitted to the committee for consideration. In terms of Program 2, Sanitary Dignity, the committee noted with concern the discrepancies within the department's annual report in reference to the fact that it is not a service delivery implementing department, yet within the same document it notes the revision of sanitary products and the rollout year to as a key aspect of the Sanitary Dignity project. This is noted on page 41. Sanitary pads have been distributed to indigent girls through a number of outreach programs as part of the 365 Days Program of Action. This hereby reflecting the department as a full frontline service delivery department. However, in the briefing to the committee, the department indicated that National Treasury had allocated $157 million for the Sanitary Dignity Program, which was then dispersed to provincial treasuries, which was either transferred to the funds to the provincial departments of social development and or basic education, as there was no uniformity at the provincial level for the distribution of the sanitary pads. Its allocation of $157 million for sanitary pads is more than the department's entire budget allocation for 18-19. Remember, the operational budget is only $149.5 million. For the year under review, the department allocated $7.632 million for the development of the revised sanitary dignity framework and spent $7.824 million. So just to pause around sanitary dignity, what the department notes is that it launched this program, it launched the framework, it issued sanitary pads, but when we engaged the department said, well, $157 million was given. The money didn't come directly to the Department of Women. Treasury gave it to the provinces. It was with provincial treasuries. Those provincial treasuries then decided who was in their provinces was going to issue those pads. It was either social development or basic education. So across the provinces, we can't say it was every social department, because in some instances it's basic education and in other instances social development. But the department itself only spent $7.824 million around the development of this draft framework. In terms of 13.53, Women's Financial Inclusion Framework, the committee notes that this framework was initiated in 1516. It took the department 4 years to develop this framework, but it's still not finalized or implemented at the end of the five-year period. The committee notes in the annual report in 1718, it was captured and developed as cited as an achievement. In the annual report for 1819, the department indicates that this framework was developed, but that further consultation would take place in 1920. This indicates an anomaly. The quarter one report of 1920 states the target for the first quarter could not be achieved, which is the report the capacity building workshop within the economic sectors employing infrastructure development clusters was produced. The reason cited as to why this could not be achieved was that the approved Women Financial Inclusion Framework had to be further consulted internally first within the department's various units as per accounting office's recommendations before it's taken through the government cluster system. So what does this show? That in terms of this Women Financial Inclusion Framework, it says it's implemented and achieved. But when we come to Q1 of 1920, we're hearing, no, actually it needs to be consulted on further internally before it can be taken to government clusters. So how can we have this target as achieved, reported on in the financial year 1819, but in 1920, we're still needing to do more work on it. In terms of the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework, which is 13.53. So for 13.54, the programs and the 365 days program of action coordinated. In terms of events and campaigns and the impact, while the department is to be commended on the various campaigns and outreach initiatives undertaken during the year under review, the committee questioned the effectiveness and impact of the events undertaken by the department for the year under review as this did not appear to translate in visible difference on the ground for women and girl children in South Africa. The committee also questioned whether the department actually assessed the impact of the campaigns and requested the outcomes of the campaigns conducted. The committee requested for all outstanding reports, which it is stated as achievements in the current annual report. In terms of national dialogues, whilst the department is to be commended on the dialogues that were held, it is still unclear what the key issues that emerge and how these have been dealt with by the department. Unlike the CGE through its legal clinics and case management, it is able to identify systematically what the key issues are per quarter per province. Just to pause here, when the CGE comes to us and they report to us about their case management or legal clinics, they go per province, per quarter, what the issue is. So they can easily say in this province, we had so many cases or problems related to GBV or maintenance. What we say in terms of the national dialogues, they've had three dialogues across different provinces, but they can't actually tell us in terms of in this province, these were the number issues related to courts or to gender-based violence or to trafficking or to maintenance or to divorce. That isn't forthcoming, and hopefully when they present their reports to us, we'll have a better idea.
What I'm saying is it can be unfair to them because they didn't ask them when they were here.
Fair Chair, we will note that. It's an observation. So in other words, what we can say is when they come and present to us, this is the sort of information that would be important for the committee to understand. One, what are you doing at the dialogues? Two, what are you identifying at the dialogues? And three, now that you've identified what the issue is, what are you doing about the issue? Given that the department is not a service delivery entity and has previously indicated that partners are brought on to deal with the referrals, there is still no clarity as to how many complaints are lodged at these dialogues, where and when, or the complainant was then referred to, and if the matter was resolved and how long it took. So in terms of the national gender machinery, the committee commends the department for the progress made in re-establishing the NGM. In terms of page 46, the revised inter-ministerial committee integrated program of action addressing violence against women and children. The committee notes the revised IMC for addressing violence against women and children was developed but was not approved. This policy is led by the Department of Social Development, and as such, in its annual report 1819, the target in this regard was not met as a draft program of action has not been submitted to Cabinet for approval, as the process for reviewing it was delayed in order to link the program of action with the GBVS summit outcomes. I checked social development. So our department is saying we couldn't deliver on it, this target around the IMC. And I'm saying the IMC, this target is a policy by social development. So I checked in social development's annual report, and what did they say? In social development's annual report, they're also saying the target is not met, and the reason for that is not being met. It was in order to link it with the GBEVF summit outcomes. The committee remains unclear as to what the relation is between the department.
That's what they say. They wanted to link it with the GBEV summit outcomes.
Yeah. The committee remains unclear as to what the relation is between the department and the Interim Steering Committee on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, established by the President following the summit on GBVF. The committee notes that the Interim Steering Committee is set to begin the second leg of stakeholder consultations aimed at soliciting inputs to the draft GBV National Strategic Framework. The consultations will start from the 5th to the 13th of September, covering Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Northern Cape, Free State, and North West. The Interim Steering Committee was formed as per Article 3 of the Declaration of the Summit, with a mandate to draft a National Strategic Plan framework and establish a multi-sector GBS Council, which is a coordinating body that will champion work around the GBF campaign. The interim steering committee met on 1 August 2019 at the Union Building, Pretoria, and resolved that the Ministry of Women, Youth and People's Disabilities will now be the government co-chair of the steering committee. However, though the department's APP for 1920 reflects the establishment of a GBV council, clarity is sought in this regard. What I've done here is picked up directly. What is the, in terms of what this interim steering committee is reporting? I've stated when they were established that they, this committee, interim steering committee, says they're going to do two things. They're going to develop this NSP, which is a national strategic planning framework for GBVF, and they're going to set up the council. But our APP only refers to the establishment of the council. So therefore, we again saying we need to gain clarity, because the role of our department in terms of the steering committee is only co-chairing. Furthermore, importance to note...
But who must establish the council?
Well, in our APP for 1920, we've got a target that says we're going to establish the council. But, as I've noted to chair and members here, in terms of the interim steering committee, they've got, according to their declaration, they're going to come, their mandate is to draft the national strategic plan as well as establish this multi-sector council. So if the interim steering committee is going to establish that, but we have a target, how are we linking the two? Because we only co-chair the steering committee, but many of the people who sit on the steering committee come from across government departments and civil society. So I think the coordination and the understanding in this regard, just we need a briefing by the interim steering committee and the people responsible for the establishment of the council in the department to talk to us.
In fact, the department is the one who must appoint the council on behalf of government, because how come that in an interim structure appoints a council on behalf of government? It doesn't make sense, because you know government is run by government.
Yeah.
The government doesn't delegate its powers to interim structures or NGOs, if I may say. So here, I'm sure it was just an oversight from our side that I think we should have asked more clarity to the department with regards to this one. Maybe what we need to do, we must write it as an observation or as a concern that the department need to clarify it. I think it goes to, you see that thing they were talking about, the strategic plan, where the person responsible, it's written somebody who's not an official for government. Which to me, I think it cannot be correct. You see, if it's there are things that are done by officials, and there are things that are done by whether boards or interim structures, but with this one, I'm sure we need to get clarity from the department. I'm not sure whether on other members they feel the way I feel. Because me, I think if things are supposed to be done correct, this is how I think things must be done correct.
what is the mandate of the council and the steering committee? There was no clarity on that one. I think maybe on our recommendation, we must also insert that we need a clear, detailed explanation from the department about the establishment of the council and its mandate, so that we can get clarity. What is it that they are going to do, and what is the function of the department, the mandate of the department on this one, on the council? Thank you.
There was something I noted, Kashifa, when you were presenting, where you were talking about the interim steering committee starting consultations with communities in different provinces. I think it was written from the 5th of September or something like that. If page 46. They started on the 5th of September. They are finishing when?
There was a closing date for comments on the National Strategic Plan. And I think, was it the 18th of September? I highlighted that.
They presented the National Strategic Plan to us?
Mm-mm. So the plan was put out, so GCIS put that out on government's website. And then the public could comment. And that's where I indicated the comments actually went to somebody who was from civil society.
So what is our role in terms of making inputs in that strategic plan?
Well, I think that's why the day the president had the joint sitting, we were supposed to have a meeting that morning with the interim steering committee and the department to actually talk to us about all these issues. But in that meeting was deferred on account of the joint sitting. So it's one of those outstanding matters, like the honourable members indicated. We need to ask the department to come along with the interim steering committee to explain to us what's their role, who sits on there, how are they coordinating the information, who's going to ultimately take responsibility for the plan. Because if they want the plan to be implemented in the next 6 months, there are implications for money. For the council as well, what will it cost, and who's overall did it take responsibility to monitor, to implement and monitor and evaluate it?
The strategic plan that they're talking about is the one they classified as the WOMAX. That thing is important for us. You know, my understanding is so when are we going to deliberate on that strategic plan that they are proposing? Because remember, Kashifa, as the portfolio committee doing oversight over the department, the steering committee can't finalize, the interim steering committee can't finalize things without us adopting it. Because whatever strategic plan that they are coming with, as members of parliament, we must know exactly, because we are the ones who are lawmakers. And if there's any strategic plan that has to be approved, we must deliberate on it. We must make inputs, and then can't be vice versa, unless I'm wrong. But me, the way I understand the way Parliament processes is that why that thing is left to the interim steering committee only, because we are the portfolio committee that is dealing with those matters. I think. We also have to satisfy ourselves that really the community wants this. Because if we are going to take a document that is only written by the steering committee and say this is our document. It can't be our document, because for as long as we haven't made inputs, it's not going to be our document. It will be a document that is drafted by some people somewhere, which we are not even sure whether those public hearings are happening or not happening. Because where have they publicized those elocution public hearings, those consultation meetings? Maybe you guys know. We don't know.
Chair, so that from what we recall, after the summit, the President has established an interim steering committee. And that's where our minister came in, because the previous minister actually helped with that, and then our minister came in and helped to co-chair. I think going forward, perhaps in the time in November, so next week we adopt BRR, the week after we have NYDA, so perhaps in the week after that we can request, because then it's also close to 16 days of activism, we can request the interim steering committee and the department to and brief the committee on one, the existing structure, the engagements, two, the national strategic plan, the draft presented to the committee, even if it's in draft form, who do they engage with, what was the outcomes, what does the plan entail, provide input, and then say, well, going forward, how is the plan going to be dealt with?
Do you have the draft plan?
It's available on the GCIS website. We'll forward it to the least one. I can forward it. That's where we got it from.
You know what? I think what you need to do, to analyze their strategic plan for us. And then in one of the meetings, whether on the day where we're dealing with NYDA or in any of the meetings that is going to be short, in any of the meetings, when Neliswa and yourself, Kashifa, look at any of the meetings that are going to sit and see that we can't deliberate on it. You can't, yourself can't present that analysis on that strategic plan, so that we must make inputs. But also, what I'm thinking is that the standing committee on multi-party women must also make an input. So that thing must be taken also to them, so that women members of parliament must participate on that thing, because that plan cannot be introduced and be passed if members of parliament haven't participated on it. Because that is the only opportunity. So what you need to do now, you need to communicate with the staff members of a multi-party women caucus, yeah, and then so that they can fit it in their agenda. Ne? Yeah, because, you know, I was just looking at this thing and say, man, something is not right, la. Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask, maybe is it possible that the steering committee that we're talking about co-opts other members, or can we as a committee ask the department if part of the members of this committee or the multi-party committee can be in the steering committee? I'm just asking, Chair.
It's only that we don't know the criteria that they used when they were establishing the interim structure. Yeah, well? And it was established by a summit, and I don't know exactly the revenue minister at that time. Yeah, but I'm sure what is important, as a portfolio committee, we must participate fully because we are the ones who are doing oversight. Yeah, because when people they on the ground, they want clarity. As the portfolio committee, will be expected to be responding to those issues. Yeah, especially because now the president came to parliament and make proposals. Those are decisions. That debate, we had a president that day. We could talk about prevention, budgeting, of location, GPV. Your uncle, that thing, he actually would say, anything that is happening in government, it must also come back to parliament. And on behalf of parliament, we are the ones who are doing work on behalf of the parliament. So that's why we must know what exactly is happening. Because you'll find that things are happening there outside. And then in Zulanje, La Paz is going towards it. But it's a government. So what established kanjani, what we can do also, singababuz, yabo. Honorable Kaula, tell us of Mukun. Okay.
Gibonge Slalo, gibonge a presentation. Yes. Mina la bengifuna ukwazi la sihlala ukuthi njengoba bekukhona le mashe bengiyibona izolo lena amaphoyisa ya GBVF ukuthi wena buyazi njengosihlalo wethu ngabe uyabona ukuthi buyela back kulento engihlezi ngisho ukuthi nabo bayafuneka la phinde ngivumelane nawe lento yokuqhamuka izinto okufana exactly nalo mthetho weingane loqhamuke ukuthi ingane ingashawa okade ugcizelelwa manje lo mthetho funa nazi ukuthi sisenkingeni bawubuza ngendlela ongayazi abantu and nakuma social media bayakala ngoba bathi kunje nje nje ingane zisenkingeni even othisha uyayibona nje leya nto ngokomthetho kufanele ngabe before u president ayimemezele into iyeza la sixoxe sivumelane ziyongena eParliament debate ngoba lento inkinga enkulu kabi ingane manje thisha ofundisayo sikhuluma ngothisha nje umuntu osebhadini lokuthi umuntu okhona ozelwe emhlabeni qale esandleni sakhe nasakwazi kulawula ingane sibonile la ingane incane ishaya uthisha akakwazi thisha ukwenza lutho mina ekhaya ingane yami ngiyibona ukuthi yenza into eronge angisakwazi ukuyishaya so ke sihlalo ikhuluma mina ngokagovernment angikhulumi le nto eyishoyo yabo ukuthi ngempela kunemithetho la kuzofuna sihambe siyibheke ngizobuya ngoba vele asikakabuzi ngiyabonga
no thanks chair I think let's note the fact that the interim steering committee has consist of the relevant stakeholders through the summit that takes place before the sixth parliament. But however, I understand that there was a message from the GCIS daily message that all the relevant stakeholders must submit proposed before the 15th of September to the framework. But however, what is important and what we must agree upon is that at least we must give them the department to come and present the consolidated draft of the framework to the portfolio committee, so that at the end of the day, it must be a collective document of parliament. But I understand the closing date was the 15th of September for all stakeholders across the country. And I still remember on the 13th, there was a similar program in Ekurhuleni, in the municipality, from the Women's Directorate, in terms of what the department requested to all the stakeholders across the country. So I think let's agree that, and in noting that at least they must bring the document, so that at the end of the day, we must be able to check what has been the proposals or the submissions from different stakeholders that are relevant to the GBV.
I think there was an extension, Kashifa. There was a complaint from COSATU, and I don't remember what other stakeholder was complaining. And there was a need for extension. But you see, Akiri, we are a participatory democracy. And in a democratic country, when Tinafuti constitution yet you've got one of the values is the consultation. So when you do consultation, if even us ourselves as members of parliament were not consulted properly, that means without us not knowing. Let's agree, honourable members, that Abokashifa, they will do their own analysis and present to us so that we must understand the inside of the document, what does it entail. And then we'll invite the department, as we did, and it was postponed due to the Baker President, they must come and make a presentation. When they come and make a presentation, already Tina would have had an opportunity of our own analysis and also think out of the box, what is it that we feel that it needs to be added on that strategic framework as MPs and Honorable Mugwaba. And then we'll be able to explain even to our communities, because what is important is for us also to go and explain to our communities, to our constituency, Uguti, there is this strategic framework which has been drafted by Interim Steering Committee, and what are the inputs from our communities. Because once we don't deal with it realistically, at the end of the day, you know, SOP will come back to us and say, we haven't done 1, 2, 3. You know, sometimes some of the bills, if you haven't consulted people properly, they come back to you. So it's important, with especially us as the portfolio committee, because we are responsible for these issues. We must understand it. We must have a clear understanding on them. You know, I foresee a danger when, as the chair, somebody asks me about this strategic framework and I cannot, in fact, elaborate on it. I will look stupid. So I think it's important that we must be given an opportunity to deal with it. Yeah, but and satisfy ourselves. And then we can then be confident, which we know about the strategic framework. Now, so Kashifa and Kenelisa will check on the date, will give us the date, so that we must be ready and come and present to us. And then we'll take it from there, which when are we calling the Interim Steering Committee to go and make a presentation. Yeah. Honorable Mabo.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I just wanted to agree with you, with your proposal, and especially the fact that we cannot allow an existing structure to appoint gender-based violence and femicide council other than the department, because we have powers to perform oversight over the department, not any other existing structure. But also a request, maybe, if it would be possible for Kashifa to get us the composition of the interim steering committee to know how it was composed. And thank you.
Ukungeza nje lapho sihlala kufana nale act leka act ka 3996 thina siyazi na ifuna ukuthi ikibhekwe ngoba mayibheka la sina 23 years yenzekile ngibheka ukuthi ngabe ise iza kahle mayise yini inkinga efuna ukulungisa kuyona upage page 2 lapha phezulu ku the Commission for Gender Equality.
CGE. It's for the
no, the Timina Dan Shalo. Give a mark. Couldn't the Act Lagaga 1996. So the Act Mawi if una si beke ukuthi lo mthetho washawa nini kambe manje
oh thini kusiza ku lona uyawazi kahle nje ithi nje ukhohliwe wena into kufanele siyenze thina is to revise imbendithi yayo. You remember last week ku portfolio committee we dealing with the ma issues whether ICGE must do some of the, you know, it's a pity I don't have my notebook, my notes. There were things that were raised by us ku portfolio committee last week, in terms of dealing with inequalities, monitoring and lobbying, advocacy. Isn't it that the CGE is the one who's supposed to be doing advocacy on behalf of the people? Or what is it that the department is doing in advocating for people? You remember that day. And whether a department must be changed and be a service delivery department, for example, as simple as to understand, remember a department now is the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. And a department, in terms of dealing with issues of disability, Bona, they thought those services must be left with a Department of Social Development. And then we said them here in this portfolio committee, no. At the end of the day, you will end up being a service delivery department because you are supposed to account on issues of the disabled people. So for now, to now what we have said to them, but in terms of monetary issues, they must leave it to the department in social development. But we are doing this so that Bona, they must also deal with the merger of those services like NYDA, yabo moving from the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation to them, and Bona, human capital and from, social services, financial establishment structure and so on. So at the end of the day, by the service delivery department, one of the very comfortable makawul uguba e department engasi part your service delivery. So that thing ikelebuti even the mission, the vision yabo on the mission statement sabo automatically izoshintsha. So ICGE, what we have observed Tina, in terms of their core mandate, issue advocacy. I don't know what was it. Is it there? It's there, but it seems as if there's a confusion between the department of women, and then in terms of who must do advocacy. But later established it is one of the chapter 9 institutions. Remember what is cell phone. Because they are doing a lot of work. And what we need also is a budget level to be increased.
mina ngicela ukuthi lo mthetho abakithi siwuthole especially mina nginawo okunye la kwesihlalo khona futhi lana kukhulunywa khona nge-APP lana okufika khona kuplanwe yes ukuthi kuzokwenzeka ukuthi nokuthi nokuthi lezo zinto uma seyiplaniwe gcine ngokuthi ikhulunywe ngomlomo uyibona ukuthi azenzekanga ngifuna ukwazi mina ukuthi ngabe obani laba abakwazi ukuthi mangabe labantu ke sithi nje lathi besiplane ukuthi sokwenza ukuthi nokuthi 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 safail ukukwenza njengoba sibona lana sithola ukuthi ku-ashiviwe okunye okunye ka-ashivanga yabo loo nto ila ngifuna ukwazi khona mina ikuphi lana okwazi khona ukuthi kungabhekwa ukuthi hayi nana nina niplane ukuthi nizokwenza ukuthi nokuthi nokuthi nehlule kokwenza yini eyenza ukuthi sihlalo kubonakele labantu ukuthi onke la maplani bebewaplana akukhona woda akhona mhlawumbe agcine ekhulunywa angenzeka obani laba benza ukuthi ashintshe futhi lawo maplani ashintshe kodwa nalawa ya ashiywa njani alenga kanjalo nangibuyena nakule yamasummit sihlalo yabona lento esummit mhlawumbe uyakhumbula ngayisho ayikho leya nto ayimsizi umuntu ohluphekile kunoma sihlalo isize laba bantu abesikhuluma ngabo la abantu abakhubazekile yingane youth kusizakala lona ozofika kuyena uqashe ihall namabhasi nayo yonke into nonke insiza zangaphakathi lona okufanele asizakala asizakala sihlalo ezinye zezinto lezi engikhala ngazo sihlalo sami ukuthi funeka thina sibheke and izolo sihlala athe ngibukela uzola 7 yabona uzola 7 into ayenzayo lapho uyakhombisa ukuthi izinto kanti ziyenzeka inkinga abantu abafeyila ukuthi sihlalo kwenzeka izinto ilo mnyango losufuyile ukuba ngokwami ngabe kuthatha imali inikeze CGE uzola lana ufika abantu abantu behleli behluphekile akwazi ukuthi mhlamba ababuze idini enganisiza ngabo akwazi ukuthi aphume batholele ukuthi okay abafuna i-library amakhompyutha yonke into abatholele uze wakhuluma into engeze ngayigcule yangigculisa umoya wami ekhuluma ngabantu basemakhaya abantu abanganakiwe sihlalo angabe wathi yabona bukani lana kunama-building ahlela ngenabantu nezinye zamahholo okufana ngabe yifakwa amakhompyutha kufakwa abantu kusetshenzwe abanye bageyine la khona abantu abanganayo nokuthi baye ey'kole abanye bayile abakwazi ukuqhubeka wathi yabona nasemakhaya lolu hlelo abo liyanza bangaki abantu abanjengo abafana nozola angabe bayatholakala balekelele lozola ngoba uyabona nomthwalo wakhe mkhulu and usebenza la afika aphunda amesa uyabona njengoba ngikhuluma ngo-channel 157 u-channel 157 ma ngabe uqale kangaki ngalezi zinto ezimbi bezikona ungathi mumbi lo ithiwa yini motsha but kodwa laphaya kukhona izinto oyibonayo ukuthi zi-right ziyasiza thina nathi njengabantu abayibizwa ngokuthi bawu-government sifuna kubonakala abantu bakithi beya phambili ezosihlalo so manje mina ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi njengoba uzola nanguyedwa bangaki abantu abangenza lolu hlelo basabalalisa ngaphandle phambili ukuze sikusilisane ne-violence lesigcwele iy'ngane zingene ey'dakamizweni sihlalo yingenxa yelana thina busy ngama-summit asikwazi uku-create something abantu eminyango bathole ogandaganda le mhlaba ekhona balimi sihlalo le nto mina ingiphatha kambi ngoba uyabona kuyimanje uma uthi uyabheka iy'ngane ezinye uzothola ukuthi zize zibulalane lapha yingenxa yey'dakamizwa nezangoma nazo yikhona la zidlala ngabantu ziyabaprofethela ngoba nazo yilambile mhlawumbe kwazona ma izohlala phansi zihlanganiswe ziqeqeshwe zishayane ngendlela yokuthi no wena urong ma wenza lokhu kufanele uwenze kanje kungagcina kuphele yonke le nto luvuvukathi esibhekene nalo sihlala ngiyabonga
yeah I think what Makaula is talking about is about monitoring tool remember I think what we need to do also Kashifa that monitoring tool that they were telling us, ECGE, that they are having, they must come and present it to us in full. Because they were mentioning it that day, ne? And it's a good thing, but in terms of how then can they advise the Department of Women to have a tool like that? If one can ask us, because we don't have the whole, you know, monitoring tool of the years. So I think what is important, they must come and present it to us. What Makaula is talking about, I think, is that Nishwa ukhona ma Makaula, masikhuluma ne-CGE, ukuthi bona when they were presenting into yabo ukuthi bazomonitora kanjani ama-department, iminyango yonke, ukuthi loku iyakwenza iyakwenza yini of ayikwenzi, because bona bahle ngokuthi bayakwazi futhi nokubiza umnyango. Nikhumbule ukuthi nalento yama test kit, DNA test kit, ibona i-CGE abasenza ukuthi sibe aware ukuthi ayashot, yabo, ema police station. Okay, asikele ukugaba abukashifa baqhubeke ke. Kuthi manje lezi bengizi-raise-a because zibaluleke kakhulu for la bengandlula khona yena. Ya, bengifuna ukuthi singayi-missed that part, aba akwazi kuyibamba abone ukuthi siyifaka kanjani la kule report yethu, nokuthi what is it that they need to do, because uma uyindlulile into awuphinde futhi uyikhumbule. So uma basayisho ngaleso sikhathi uyikhumbula ngaleso sikhathi, yabona njengamanje unelisa usebenza nge-program. So ngiyamtshela ukuthi la bekathi ufoka khona ukuthi bazopresenta, ngizobe ngibhale exam ngalelo langa. So kufaneke ushintsheke lowo mhlangano loyo, ngoba uma bazopresenta into eyibalulekile kumele nami ngibe yiphathi. Bangazopresenta into eyibalulekile ngingazizwanga, ngingazibonanga nokuzibona. So ngiyamtshintshisa, njengoba siloku sikhuluma nje ngithi faneke beze bazopresenta, faneke nabo bayenze analysis ngapha, sisebenza nama-data, sishintshi siyafaka ku-program. So sizophinde thina, we are going to deliver anyway. After ba-presentile bacedile, angisho vele sisazo-deliberate ngale report. So ngicela ukuthi uzinothe phansi zonke lezi zinye izinto, nama-members amanye ninothe phansi, so that anikubona ukuthi ngathi kuyashoda, it's not well captured, we can be able to capture them in the report.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I've noted the request from members, and we'll look at establishing a date and then the follow-up with the CG as well. So on to page 47, Program 3, the 25-year review. Whilst the committee commends the department for having developed the 25-year review and initiated the establishment of a review committee consisting of key experts and stakeholders, the committee is unclear as to what the relationship is between the structure and that of the Presidential Review Committee on Women's Emancipation and Gender Equality that was established by the President and it launched in January 19. The PRC held two meetings in April and reported to the then former Minister of Women in the Presidency, Mr. Batabili Dlamini, on its progress, and Professor Vivian Terrier is a PRC, which is comprised of 24 experts. The PRC was expected to submit a report to the President in March 2020. This 25-year review has not been tabled or referred to the committee for consideration by the department. The committee acknowledges the department's request to have a briefing on the report. So this is again another outstanding report, which is important, but it hasn't yet come our way. In terms of the incentive schemes, the committee commends the department for the development of this report, but we also know the report was done by a consultant. The committee also notes that in November 2018, a report on the evaluation of government business incentive schemes was prepared by DNA Economics and the Rebel Group.
The Evaluation Steering Committee was comprised of DPME, National Treasury, Department of Trade and Industry, Tourism, Science and Technology, Economic Development, Small Business Development, and SARS. The Steering Committee oversaw the operation of the evaluation, commented and approved the report, which is a national evaluation report. So it's unclear what the link is between what UCT had developed for our department versus this extensive report by DPME, and a lot of money was spent by DPME looking at the overall government business incentive schemes. And it actually had specific interviews that linked to how this is business incentive schemes help not just women, but youth and persons with disabilities. We've checked the report. Moving on to page 48, the Young Women's and Socioeconomic Empowerment Framework. The committee commends the department for the development of the report. It's still not fully implemented, given that the framework requires further consultation and tabling within the DG Customs and Cabinet system. This is concerning for the department, as it's just one of the concerning for the committee, not the department, as it's one of many policies that have yet to be given effect to by the department. Furthermore, the committee is unclear what's the link between the Young Women's Socioeconomic Empowerment Framework, the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework, and the Gender Responsive Planning Framework, as well as the policy initiatives of the NYDA, as this is now located in the new department. In terms of 13.510, country reports, my apologies here, I need to amend this observation, because this observation was actually from the previous financial year, not this year. But just to note, for country reports, the department says it produced two country reports, and the only one, the multilateral one that was outstanding, was from CSW 62. So I will note observation and the issue around the country reports there. Moving on to page 49, 13.511. The Always Keeping Girls in School, as we noted. The monitoring report on the implementation of Outcome 14, which is process evaluation report of Always Keeping Girls in School program, was undertaken in two provinces, Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal. This program is implemented by an NPO Footprints Foundation. The Facebook post for the program dates back 11 months and hasn't been active since. It is unclear as to why the department chose to spend its limited budget focusing on an evaluation of the program run by an NPO, albeit in partnership with government, the Department of Basic Education, which does not have a reach in all nine provinces. This is what we had brought up with the department. In terms of the M&E Framework for Sanity Dignity Program, the department says that it has developed this monitoring and evaluation framework, which we commend. However, it's unclear why this is separate from the revised Sanity Dignity Framework, or the reason it's only been developed at this stage, given the challenges the department has noticed the committee on the implementation of this program within and across provinces. So just to capture what the department told us, when they explained to us how the rollout happens, they gave us all sorts of challenges which they came up with as to why provinces just doesn't want to implement the implementation framework. Now, the department says they've implemented an M&E framework to look at pregnancy dignity, but it's a bit late for them to have developed the framework at the end when it should have been developed alongside from the onset. And actually, the framework should have been done in consultation with all the key provinces and provincial departments, because they have the framework and now they want people to implement, and people are saying, but it's not part of our APP and we will decide how we will do it. In terms of country gender indicator framework, this will only be fully operational in 2021. As per the annual report, as a revised framework will be consulted with various stakeholders and only finalized by the end of 1920. The department indicated that 65 country gender indicators have been identified. Given the number of international and regional treaties South Africa signatories, it's unclear as to whether the allocated number of indicators identified will suffice. Again, this country gender indicator framework hasn't yet been presented to the committee. In terms of the gender responsive framework, in the annual report, the department cites that it had developed the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing framework, which was approved by Cabinet in March 2019.
However, the work continues on this framework as per quarter one briefing, development of guidelines and consultation, which means this framework is not yet fully operational. Furthermore, the department has also indicated to the committee at the briefing of quarter one that it developed a concept paper on the development of the guidelines for the framework. This framework was, however, captured as it developed and finalized in the 2017-18 annual report and also cited as an achievement, thus giving the impression that the framework was not draft but finalized. This appears to be the case again for 18-19. Notwithstanding that, the department indicated to the committee that these guidelines have come about given that the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation had indicated that the departments have requested guidance on how to implement the proposed framework. However, this points more to not only a lack of understanding of the framework, but also to its effectiveness if at the onset departments are unable to implement it. So in terms of where we act with gender-responsive budgeting, there's a framework. They say they're busy developing guidelines. But the feedback the department has given us is that DPE was going to facilitate the implementation of this. They said that some departments have come back and said they can't implement it, give them guidelines, which means if you just have the framework as is, people are not understanding it and can't implement it and need assistance to do that. In terms of CGE observations, just to reiterate, the CGE accounts to Parliament via the Portfolio Committee, and that the department really transfers its funds. General comments, observations, the CGE was commended for achieving a significant amount of its targets, 29 out of 33. The committee commended the commission support staff and previous commissioners for the work done over the years for an unqualified audit opinion. The commission was requested to share ideas with the department on the implementing the programs with limited support staff. The committee notes the need for the CGE to conduct a stronger, dedicated monitoring and evaluation of the department's program, as the focus in 2018-19 has not been sufficient to provide an assessment as a Chapter 9 institution of whether the department has given effect to its mandate. The committee concurs with the findings and the recommendations of the AG. In addition, the committee indicated the AG indicated that the findings are the same as the previous financial year. As such, the commission was urged to resolve findings by the AG. 13.62, governance. The committee commends the CGE for addressing the key findings noted by the AG previously, but still urged the commission to attend to any findings raised to ensure that clean audit can be maintained. To this end, the committee noted the concerns related to the internal control deficiencies. Notwithstanding that, the CGE's audit committee agreed with the findings of the AG and commended the commission for putting in place a management audit action plan to address risk and related issues as they arose. The system for internal control was therefore considered effective for the period under review. The finance, the committee noted, the saving of $785,494, the irregular expenditure of just over $985,000. The committee noted the fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the amount of over $20,000, which was attributed to the medical aid issue. In terms of D, the committee acknowledged the immense strain placed on the CGE's budget in trying to give effect to its mandate. As we move over to page 52, HR vacancies, the vacancy rate was 16%. DC cases, the committee noted three employees were subject to DC processes for the period of under review, and there were 10 cases still under investigation. C, the committee acknowledged the turnover of staff in the CGE as attributed to remuneration packages, which are not in line with other Chapter 9 institutions. As a result, the CGE staff attrition is often due to other Chapter 9 institutions that are able to offer staff better remuneration packages, which the CGE is unable to counter-offer due to constraints on its fiscus. In terms of employment of persons with disabilities, the committee also queried whether the commission employed people with disabilities as part of its staff complement. In terms of 13.65, K case management, the committee still remains concerned about the pending files between quarters and financial years and the challenges faced by the CGE to attend to this expeditiously. We list some of the key issues across the provinces, that there were 524 files pending in the previous financial year, that the number of open and closed files were decreased as compared to the previous financial year. In 2018-19, 546 files were opened and 550 were closed. In terms of maternal health, the CGE is commended for the research work done in this regard. However, the report is still not complete and awaits the input from the Department of Health. It will be important for the committee to consider the research report in a conferral meeting with the PC on Health. Furthermore, it will be important for the CGE to keep the committee abreast of progress and developments in this regard. In terms of gender-based violence, the CGE has identified various initiatives that it is undertaking, be it awareness raising, case management, litigation, court monitoring, and research in the year under review, which is to be commended. It will be important for the CGE to follow up on the work that was done in 1819 and to update the committee on progress in this regard, but also determine what the strategy is for the next 5 years, given the new developments since the summit and the president's pronouncement of an emergency plan. Whilst the training initiative with steps on the handling of sex workers is commended, it will be important for the committee to establish from the CGE how this will be sustained and rolled out nationally given the resource financial constraints. Systemic gender violations in shelters. The CGE is to be commended on its work on the state of shelters in South Africa. It would be important for the committee to ascertain from the CGE if the Department of Social Development, National and Provincial, will be invited to participate in at the hearing, a conferral meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Social Development and the PC on Women should also be arranged to discuss the report and outcomes of the hearings. In terms of mining, the CGE is commended for work done in the mining sector on gender transformation. The research report indicates a lack of gender transformation in the mining industry. This highlights what is still required for the advancement of women in priority areas for government as one of the means for economic emancipation. A conferral meeting with the PC on mineral resources on the research report will be important for the committee to consider. Gender transformation in institutions of higher learning. The CGE is commended for the research work done in this regard. The hearings conducted revealed challenges related to the lack of gender-related policies and clear measures to promote women and persons with disabilities to senior management positions. It would be important for the committee to consider the research report in a conferral meeting with PC on Higher Education and for the Department of Higher Education to respond to the findings. Law reform. The CGE is commended for the submissions within the year under review. It would be important for the CGE to track what of its recommendations were incorporated and report back to the committee accordingly. Litigation. It's commended for the litigation it pursued under the year under review, and the committee should be kept updated for any new updated of any new developments. Gender mainstreaming and training. Whilst the CGE is commended for the various training initiatives undertaken throughout the country within government and the private sector, the follow-up of its is important in addition to ensuring the policy provisions are in place. Moreover, in planning the way forward, it would be imperative to determine strategically which areas the CGE will be targeting for training to ensure continuity. Example, identifying municipalities, provincial and national departments. A systemic approach to training at municipal level should be considered, and how the National School of Government can be partnered in this regard with its mainstreaming in the policy service module aimed at middle and senior managers in national, provincial, and local government. Yes, just to highlight, so the CGE is doing lots of work around mainstreaming and training, but we also have a model in the National School of Government, and we just need to ask the department when they look at the APP for 2020-21, you've got a limited budget. You want to make an impact, so how are you going to decide which provinces are you going to target and which municipalities in a coordinated manner? Treaty compliance. As noted in the previous financial year, the CGE is commended for its participation at various international forays. It would be important for the committee to ascertain how the CGE is monitoring the implementation of the resolutions that arise from these engagements at a domestic level. The committee notes that the CGE has not evaluated the department's country gender indicator framework
An assessment in this regard would be important to undertake. Women in correctional centers. The CGE to be commended for the work done thus far, focusing on women incarcerated in correctional service centers in South Africa. The key findings that relate to overcrowding, lack of understanding by prison officials, sexual reproductive health, and so forth. All of this is concerning. It will be important for the committee to ascertain from the CGE what the strategy is it intends embarking on to address the finding in its research report. In terms of women's representation and participation in the traditional sector, the CGE is to be commended on the work done in this sector. Given the key issues that have emanated from the study, it will be important for the committee to ascertain what CGE proposes in order to deal with the lack of understanding and awareness issues related to gender equality and transformation, limited representation and participation of women, royal families predominantly still appointing males more than females, and the lack of legal enforcement, which is the 30% quota in female representation in the membership of House of Traditional Leaders, or legal mechanisms to sanction failure to comply. In terms of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, the committee notes the department did not have a dedicated focus on the monitoring and evaluation of the department's programs and initiatives during the year under review to assess the extent to which the department has given effect to its mandate. In terms of the recommendations now, in terms of the mandate of the department, the committee remains concerned about the department's ability to give effect to its mandate and therefore urges the department to engage with all key stakeholders in this regard to look at addressing this matter. Audit action plan. The committee recommends that the department develop an audit action plan and implement the recommendations by the AG and improve on the impact results. I think besides the AG, it's also the audit and risk committee. So I'll include that. This action plan should address the root cause of the problems, clearly articulate specific actions with key persons responsible at the senior management level, and specify time frames. All action plans should be submitted to the committee with a second quarterly report for 1920, not 1819, before 5 November 2019 briefing. The committee recommends that the department should monitor and evaluate the implementation of action plan, and progress reports should be submitted to the committee on a monthly basis until the end of the financial year. Now, this is what our previous committee had recommended, just because there were concerns about the repeat findings. So the initial thought was maybe with monthly reports, the committee would have a better sense how issues are being dealt with from a month-to-month basis. But members can also change and say, well, maybe it shouldn't be monthly, just stick to quarterly. The committee recommends that the department must report monthly to the committee on progress with regards to implementing the recommendations by the AG, the ARC, and DPME via the latest impact results. A clear explanation should be provided in instances where recommendations have not been implemented and what the remedial action is. The key person or persons responsible for implementing recommendations must be submitted to the committee. D. The committee recommends that the department provides a detailed list of names of officials who have contravened the PFMA, National Treasury Regulations, and Supply Chain Management Policies during 1819, indicate the nature of the contravention, the cost incurred, and the consequent management implemented by the respective manager, or whenever there have been any repeat offenders. In terms of E, page 56, the department must provide a court report on the consequent management it will take to remedy the poor performance of members at the SMS level. In terms of financial performance, in your monitoring reports, the department must continue to submit quarterly reports to the committee in line with National Treasury Regulations. Spending trends, the committee recommends that the department monitor spending patterns and ensure that this is in keeping with what has been outlined in the respective strategic plan and annual performance plan. To this end, the department needs to provide the committee with detailed financial reports for activities on a quarterly basis. These financial reports should clearly indicate the purpose of the activity as it relates to the objectives outlined in the APP and the expenditure incurred. In instances where the department incurred expenditure for events nationally and internationally, the size of the delegation must be included and details pertaining to travel and subsistence.
the department must ensure that its AFP is costed appropriately with a clear indication as to how and when it intends undertaking activities with corresponding costs. Irregular expenditure. The committee recommends that the department should provide a comprehensive report on the investigations into irregular expenditure incurred during 2018-19 as well as the previous financial year. The report should clearly indicate the sanctions brought against members for irregular expenditure. The department should further develop an action plan on steps to prevent irregular expenditure through a skills audit training, skills development and consequence management. Investigation. Committee await outcomes and reports in this regard and for briefing until matters are concluded at every quarterly briefing. In terms of unauthorized expenditure, the department is urged to follow up with SCOPA regarding the condonement of historical debt incurred and report back to the committee accordingly. I just realized the only recommendation we don't have for finances is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So it would be similar to the one around irregular expenditure. We need to know who was responsible, what was the consequence, and is it being dealt with. So I'll include one around fruitless and wasteful expenditure. 14.4, internal control and risk management. The committee recommends that the department must provide the committee with a detailed report on the implementation of risk management control, which includes the staffing structure, risk management systems, challenges identified, and remedial action. The committee concurs with the recommendation by the ARC on improving internal audit control. The committee requires the department's audit and risk committee to brief the committee in the second quarter of 1819 on the challenges identified and the recommendations made. The committee recommends that the department must provide the committee with a detailed outline of the measures in place to strengthen internal control and risk management. E. The committee recommends that the department should brief the committee on risk mitigation measures as it has applied to ensure targets are reached within the core programs in terms of 14.5, AG and audit and risk. A. The ARC should continue to monitor the implementation of the AG recommendations, intervene when necessary with the senior management of the department, and report to the committee on a quarterly basis in this regard. The committee in turn will provide the ARC with feedback on the outcome of meetings held with the department and what recommendations are expected to be implemented with specific timeframes. ARC to submit its quarterly report to the committee for consideration after every meeting it has with the department. 14.6 HR, vacancies. All key funded vacancies should be filled within the specified time allocation. In instances where this is not complied with, the department should clearly identify within the quarterly report to the committee reasons for failure to comply and remedial action taken. The committee recommends that all vacancies, including acting positions, especially those in which the incumbent is on long-standing suspension, should be filled permanently in the next 6 months. The department should provide quarterly report on this to the committee. In terms of resignations and dismissals and terminations, the committee recommends that the department provide a written report on the reasons for dismissal of staff, resignations, termination of contracts, and subsequent impact on service delivery. A contingency plan should also be developed to focus on staff retention. In terms of performance management, the committee recommends that the heads of Program 2 and 3 provide quarterly reports of consequent management for the non-delivery of targets with a clear indication of the remedial action implemented. Each program and sub-program will be required to present the progress to the committee on a bi-monthly basis. This can also be changed to quarterly. Long-standing suspension, the committee recommends that all vacancies, especially those in which the incumbent is on long-standing suspension, should be filled permanently in the next 6 months. The suspension should be dealt with expeditiously and reported on every month until resolved. Use of consultants. The committee requests department to indicate what measures department would implement to avoid the use of consultants in future in a bid to contain costs. Furthermore, the committee recommends that skills transfer must occur when consultants are utilized so as to capacitate staff within the department. If the top-heavy structure, the committee recommends that department indicate how it intends utilizing its top-heavy structure more optimally to ensure that targets are met rather than using consultants. The committee also recommends that programs 2 and 3, which encompass the core delivery mandate of the department, be capacitated. The committee welcomes an opportunity to engage the department on strategic plan and organigram structure going forward. In terms of governance, A, the committee reiterates the importance with compliance with the BFMA National Treasury Regulations for the department, and that failure of officials in this regard must be dealt with expeditiously. To this end, the committee recommends the department report on how it deals with transgressors and what remedial action is taken. This should be presented in the quarterly report. For the year under review, the committee recommends the department submits a report clearly outlining the officials that contravened the BFMA by authorizing transactions that should have been done by the account, just to remove the latter, it's just contravened by the BFMA. The committee remains concerned about the non-compliance and adherence to laws and prescripts by officials within the department. The department should consider including a specific key performance indicator and target that addresses compliance to laws and prescripts. At the moment, we don't actually have a specific indicator in our APP that tracks this, and that's why the suggestion is to actually look at having a particular target and indicator that the committee can also track. The committee recommends that the department report on the forensic investigation referred to by the AG be submitted to the committee on completion and committee to be briefed on progress with regards to new investigations underway. So this is the 17-18 investigations which we never got a feedback on, and those for 18-19. Supply chain management. The committee recommends that the department provide a monthly report on supply chain deviations and transgressions and what actions were taken against officials who failed to comply with the policies. Where deviations were allowed, the motivation here should be clearly stipulated. The department should identify a specific key performance indicator with targets pertaining to supply chain management in its APP for 2020-21. In terms of the investigations, the committee recommends that the department briefs it at quarter two. It's 19-20, not 18-19. On the outcome of investigations that have been completed for 17-18 and indicate what progress has been made in terms of implementing recommendations, consequence management. Furthermore, the department is expected to brief the committee on progress with regards to investigations currently underway. Performance-related recommendations. SMART principles, the committee recommends the department must ensure the alignment between the strategic plan and its APP, which includes objectives and targets that are SMART and costed accordingly. Any change to the APP must be brought to the attention of the committee as soon as these are done, with a clear indication of the HR impact and financial implications. The department must update the committee on the status of targets on a quarterly basis. The committee urges the department to desist from embarking on activities that do not fall within its mandate, a more service delivery orientated collaboration. The committee recommends that the department should improve collaboration with the CGE and all other relevant organs of state, as well as civil society. The department should explore how these proposed national dialogues can be linked to the CGE's legal clinics as a cost-saving measure and to avoid duplication. The committee recommends that specific emphasis should be placed on developing relationships with gender focal points within government departments, premier's offices, mayor's offices, and municipalities. In terms of the country gender indicator framework, that the department should present the framework to the committee along with the 65 indicators identified. The department should be requested to present its findings on all analysis and monitoring and evaluations undertaken. To this end, reports compiled should be referred to the committee for consideration. In terms of events, campaigns, conferences, the committee recommends that the department should inform the committee in advance of all initiatives it intends undertaking in order for portfolio committees to attend where possible. The committee recommends that the department should provide the committee with reports of all initiatives undertaken by outlining the costs incurred as per the recommendation on spending trends, the purpose of initiatives as it relates to the APP, the outcomes, the number of intended beneficiaries, and an action plan to how resolutions or outcomes will be implemented. The committee recommends that a year plan be submitted of all key events with forecasted costs. In terms of the gender responsive framework, the committee recommends that the department should brief the committee on this framework. The committee recommends that the department should brief the committee on what progress has been made by departments in implementing the framework. The committee recommends the department submit the guidelines for consideration to the committee. 61, gender focal points. The committee recommends the department should update it on progress with regard to GPSA insofar as gender focal points are concerned. It also recommends that the department brief the committee on a regular basis on its work and relationship with gender focal points within departments and local government at every quarter. In terms of treaty compliance, A, the committee recommends that the department should ensure that country reports are submitted within the specified time frames as required by the relevant reporting bodies. B, the committee recommends that the department should report back to Parliament on feedback received on the country reports, action plans developed in this regard, as well as progress in terms of implementing recommendation. C, the committee recommends that the department must present all reports presented at international to the committee at least 1 month before it undertakes the international trip. In terms of 14.8, not 9, legislative and policy reform, the committee recommends that the department should brief the committee on gaps identified within policies and laws on a regular basis. The committee recommends the department should table all reports developed upon completion on a quarterly basis for the committee to consider, and especially on work it says it's doing around policy and law reform. The committee recommends the department should brief the committee on its policy position with regards to gender mainstreaming and indicate clearly what, if any, changes are required to the existing national gender policy framework. Outstanding reports. The committee requests that the department brief received on all outstanding responses and to question posed in relation to the annual report as well as reports submitted. Moving on to 62B, the committee recommends that the department must submit all reports within 30 days of completion for consideration. The committee recommends that the department submit all documentation for meetings at least 7 working days in advance. Failure to do so, the committee should be informed in writing as to the other reasons. So the other recommendation I've put in would be specifically around GBV, that the department and the committee request the department and the interim steering committee to brief it, and we'll put down the date, which will be November, on the GBV Council and the draft national strategic plan. In terms of the CGE, the audit action plan, CGE should develop an audit action plan that relates to the recommendations by the AG. It must be submitted with a second quarterly report for 1920. The CGE should ensure it maintains tight control of its fiscus and avoid overexpenditure in 1920, not 1819. Contact management. The CGE should report back to the committee on what internal control measures have been implemented to deal with the management of terminated contracts more prudently. In terms of governance, 10.2, the CGE should continue with its compliance with legislation and national treasury regulations. The CGE should inform the committee what actions have been taken to deal with transgressions of policies and laws and overall poor performance delivery. This should be reported back to the committee within quarterly reports. Program performance, the CGE should continue to monitor and evaluate the impact and outcomes of the initiatives that have been implemented. B, on page 63, the CGE should explore training and mentorship initiatives as a means of capacity building to strengthen government institutions, the National School of Government. The CGE encouraged to develop coordination plan of training initiative and awareness raising and report back to the committee on a quarterly basis in this regard. D, the CGE should continue to provide the committee with an account of the performance of commissions on a quarterly basis, and this should be reflected in the 2021 annual performance plan and report. The, what we don't have is maybe members should think of, do we want a recommendation for the CGE around GBV like we had for the department? Maybe for to request the CGE in its new APP to look at a specific dedicated focus around the strategy for dealing with GBV in light of the presidential summit and the new council that's going to be established and the national strategic plan. National Treasury, The CGE's funding model should be aligned with the rest of the Chapter 9 institutions, in particular the public protector, to enable it to optimally give effect to its mandate. The CGE should be provided with additional funds in order to retain existing staff and attract new staff. Specific emphasis should be placed on the funding of staff for legal clinics, public education, and information, communication, and legal support. To this end, provinces with the largest caseload should be prioritized where offices require additional support staff. What we've also done is provide a summary of reporting requests for both the department and the CGE. So we've noted when we want the quarterly reports, we want the audit outcomes in the form of audit action plan. In terms of the forensic investigations, on page 64, report on deviations, HR, it's the, not the gender mainstreaming framework, it's the women's financial inclusion framework, gender responsive budgeting, country reports, as well as impact reports, and for the CGE we would also continue with commissioners' performance court. Per quarter. The committee will continue to stringently monitor the department with respect to the implementation of recommendations by the AG as well as the ARC. Thus, the committee urges the department to take its recommendations seriously and implement these expeditiously. Thank you, members. This report will not have been done without the support staff. So the work here is a reflection of what has been captured by Crystal, and Tasneem has also helped give us input, reminded us of issues that we have maybe have missed or highlighted things that we needed to know. So in summary, that concludes our draft BRR. With Chair's guidance and the input from members, we will now look at what needs to be changed, shifted, added, and included. But I do note the two recommendations around gender-based violence for the department, that you want a briefing by the department around the steering committee and the council, as well as the strategic plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kashifa, Crystal, and Tasneem, and Neliso. So that means we were ready. Yeah, very efficient. Okay, honorable members, that's the report. I'm not sure how must we deal with it, the report, whether we must start from page one. You know, from page one up until page... up until page 31. We must start with the committee observations. Yeah. From page 1 up until page 31. Things that are then from the department, what is the mandate of the and the objectives of CGE and also the department, and then the other thing is what they've done, they've also included the State of the Nation address by the president, on which part that is covered that we must deal with. They also mentioned the issues of NDP. On the NDP document, it's a national development plan for government, and they even indicated on which one must we focus on, especially the department. The programs according to how they have performed, how they have utilized funds according to programs.
what is the strategic objective, Mishilo? What is the strategic objective of the department? So we must focus on the ones where we are saying, what is it that our observations of the portfolio committee. Remember, these are some of the things that we have raised with them in the committee meeting last week. So what we need to do is to check. I'm sure even when they were presenting the report, you were noting what is it that we have raised in that meeting that day, and what were the recommendations that we have made. If there are other things that you think we can also add on the report, you can also, you are free to do it. If there are other questions that were not answered by them, I think you can check even in those that they have captured. If there are those that they haven't captured, you can also still add, ne? That's why when you look at page 63, you can see they've written a summary of reporting requests. Okay. So they are indicating which from each department which one they've dealt with, and from CGE which one they haven't reported on. Up until the last page, page 64. So till now we must start with page 31. If there are other issues that you want to raise, let's raise them. But also, we need to check if Avoka Shifa, they have captured the amounts correctly. Because if sometimes they write 7 rand instead of 7 million, so these are some of the things that when we are together, we need to also check whether they've captured the amounts correctly. But what is also helpful is that they did comments on the previous financial years. If you look at about 2017, 2018, because I think it's our advantage that they were here in the portfolio committee, they've also done analysis and they know what the issues were raised at that time. And the status now, what is the status of the department now, or whether by the Auditor General or by the ECGE and the department. So that on its own is helpful for us. Yeah, it's a lot of work, ne? But we'll do it because I think we are here until late. So that means Tina, we are ahead. Whether the program has changed or what, but it gave us time to work without any rush. So we are going to do justice to our report. Any other matter that you feel that that day you did not raise, you want to raise, if it's not covered, you can still tell us, still raise it. Kushiva.
Chair, I just need to take guidance from the committee. The issue that was consistently raised by the department was we can't do something because of lack of capacity. When the three of us checked the organogram, they gave us the organogram for every program and they put the funded posts. But we can't tell members at this moment in time in that organogram, this is where the actual vacancies are, and this is where the capacity constraints are. So when the
feedback to the committee is the reason why we couldn't do this target is because of capacity constraint. We can't go to the organogram and look and see what they're actually referring to because we don't know where a gap is. So, and Arnold PT has always said, we asked for the organogram, but what they gave us wasn't complete. So that's a bit of information that's missing. So what we don't have from the department is, of your 111 staff that you currently have, if you go per program, where are those staff located? Is it for a funded post, for unfunded post? And if there's a vacancy, that's what you say your capacity constraint is. Where is that vacancy? Where is that capacity constraint? At this moment in time, even when we still looked at the HR stuff, even though they tell you where the vacancy, what the vacancy rate is, it's very general. We don't have specifics, so we can't tell members and locate exactly where in supply chain management or internal audit the gap is.
Okay, I suggest we break for lunch. And then we start at 1:30. Is it okay? Of course, don't write me.
Manje, one. Quarter to two. Eshiane. Quarter to two, okay? It's fine. Jen. Yeah, how fun in a membership?